Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBMB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for the finale of Survivor 41. My name is Mike Bloom. I've returned, much like the Final Immunity Challenge, where you're stacking letters on a wobbly platform. I am back, probably to cause some more imbalance as well on this very silly podcast, on a wrap-up of a very interesting season. Let me bring in this panel, who you have heard a lot of recently. Now, first, let me bring in the reason for the first person, that being the case, because she is pulling double duty here. She's double dipping, doing the Passover method. You heard her on the feedback show with Rob Cicernino, and no less than 24 hours after that is on at the B&B. Liana truly getting that 26-day experience. Did anyone else feel like they were deprived of the podcast experience when Liana is doing two back-to-back?
That's right. This is the hardest season in podcast history ever. No, look, I'm just doing Jeff's work here, you know, covering everything about this season. I think Rob and I had a really great conversation getting into, you know, more of the strategy, the nitty gritty, talking about edits, also some silliness, of course, the draft, which, you know, Chappelle was a part of. We can touch on a little bit of that, perhaps. But I think this is going to be a little bit of a different tone in a good way.
How dare you? As I say, as we're moving the set around us, I'm having various crew members bring things in as I'm talking. Well, Liana mentioned him. The reason why you hear this guy a lot in your ears is because with no exaggeration whatsoever, he's on literally every podcast imaginable in the audio atmosphere. Of course, actually, I think making his Survivor B&B debut, I believe, is Chappelle. Chappelle, how's it going?
It's going. And Mike, I find that very disrespectful. I'm not everywhere. I'm under the radar, like our winner of this season. You know, no one saw me come in. I was absent in the first half. But then, you know, I made subtle moves and here I am on the B&B. You know, that's me. Subtlety. Yeah. Face of subtlety.
King of subtlety. Yes. Well, you know, exactly. Perdium knew all along, though. So, you know, he was tapped into your winner edit all along.
Of course, Peridium's my biggest fan, and I'm his, so that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. I do remember when he came out about 4 weeks ago, he's like, you know what, I this is odd to say, it's not my podcast, but I think you're going to have Chappelle on in the finale. You've been dropping hints throughout, you used the words nothing but and Netflix in a sentence like 3 weeks ago, and that was a hint to Chappelle and everything. You mentioned Baltimore at one point, so yeah, clearly it has come to fruition. You have been crowned our final B&B guest for Survivor 41. Actually, before we even get into it, because again, like I sort of surprised myself in realizing that I think we've only had you on Big Brother since you've joined RHAP. I forget if the multitude of Survivor Countdown podcasts you were on, you gave your Survivor origin story, but like for the memory inclined such as myself, what was your origin story with Survivor? Why did you end up coming, you know, getting invested in a show that now has you on this rinky dink podcast so many years later?
No, that's probably a very good question. And I guess that says a lot about me that I don't remember if I've ever shared that origin story on the 95 podcast that I did about Survivor in the last year. But yeah, I was like a day, one fan, but I don't think I think I saw the first episode, you know, when I was young, a wee lad. And then I didn't really care. Like, I was like half tapped in. I was just trying to see how well Jervis would do. And then by the end of the season, I was like, oh, crap, snakes, rats. I want to watch the next one. And then I've been hooked ever since. So I saw bits and pieces of the first season. I really didn't follow it too close. But Australian Outback is probably where I get my official, you know, start date, if you want to just, you know, put a definite number on it.
That makes sense. Let's rewind back to, you know, the spring of 2001, when a woman defeats a young, charismatic, handsome man, and the internet goes crazy over it. How much has changed over the course of 19 years, or 20 years, I suppose? Here we are, same story, different tune.
Yeah, like, who would have thought Tina would have beat Keith Famey like that? You know, just just so outright destroyed him.
Oh, Mr. Hot Bod himself, the Hershey bar, Keith Famey.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it is interesting, right? There is a parallel there with Tina basically not even being shown in the first episode at all. And now we have Erica, our most recent winner, who was not shown pretty much at all, you know, like throughout multiple episodes. So, yeah, this is a perfect time to have me on because I have a lot of experience talking about Tina Weston's game. And I'm going to have to watch this like four more times to build up something to talk about Erica's game because they didn't show her on television.
Yeah, this is instead of the dog that didn't bark, it's what the lion that didn't roar, I suppose, would be the name of the story for Erica's edit.
Mm. Yeah, the lamb that didn't chop, you know, something like that.
It sounds like, do lambs bleat? Is that the sound that, like I don't want to do it. Like,
is it a baa?
Yeah, Leon, let's bring animal noises in 5 minutes into this podcast. I think that's natural. Let's do animal noises.
You know, yeah, well, I don't know, Mike, you're the one with the child, so, you know, the lamb goes, the cow goes. Yeah.
What I do is there's a book that Asher uses called On the Farm by Eric Carley, and there is a page that I do the animal noises for each animal, and there's a page with a sheep, a goat, and a lamb. Really tough to find the nuances in there, personally. I try to like differentiate. I more so do a high pitch version. I'm like, here's the sheep, bah, and here's the lamb.
What is it, dying?
Yeah, it's actually the noise of it being birthed. Is I actually just talk about the moment of its first life on Earth.
That's good.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you brought up Asher, because Mike, that video the video of your child completely, well, first of all, casually picking the winner while destroying your house has made my day, my week, my month, my year. Like, what do you do with this kid? How did he get here? What is the process for this child being destructive and also such a, you know, survivor Nostradamus?
I mean, listen, if you want to know how he got here, I can.
I don't want to. Liana, please let him talk.
Let him get. Let's bring out the pizza. Let's bring out.
I want to hear him out. Let's hear him out. Yeah, let's explore this.
I did hear rumbles about you having a hickey in that video, Mike.
Apparently so. I don't know where this came from. So I did a takeover of the RHAP Instagram. Mm-hmm. Bad idea to begin with. I think further by the topic that apparently some random sores are showing up on me. And also for those that didn't catch it. So I tried to sub in some, you know, consummate reunion segments that we were deprived of due to the Survivor after show. And one of them was like, a kid usually writes down who is going to win. And so I went to my son, who was casually throwing around a garbage can lid when I was polling him. And I had a picture of the five finalists. And I said, which one's going to win? And he points straight at Erica and goes, that one. And lo and behold, I had an Erica truther sleeping in my own damn house. And I didn't even know. Wow. My God.
Yeah.
If only I knew.
No, that was wild because he didn't even hesitate. It wasn't even like, boom. It was like he like went, this one. Exactly.
Now, I will admit part of it, and Erica spoke about this in the after show. She does look the most childlike. And I do wonder if that's like, who's most likely to be my playmate? Xander is the youngest, but I think Erica looks the youngest. I think, unfortunately, Ricard sort of like excludes himself due to the silver hair. And so I think he was very much like, okay, that one. But yeah. I think my son is now, spoiler alert, tied me in winner pick predictions in just one fell swoop. I feel simultaneously defeated and exhilarated because maybe there's something buried deep within my genes that hasn't manifested in myself, but perhaps has in my progeny.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, well, I'm sure whatever was buried deep beneath your genes is why he got here in the first place. So I'm happy to see that he at least knows Survivor.
Yeah, I'm looking down at it right now.
Don't do that.
Not deep within the jeans.
He said,
listen, we're getting raw. We're getting candid here in this conversation, in this podcast.
Let's take it all off.
We don't have to do that.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, let's start talking about this episode, because look, Liana, I'll save you a few minutes. You obviously went into, as you mentioned, a lot of detail about this with Rob in a couple of hours. People should check that out. Really fun time looking at, particularly, I would say, the Survivor community's response to a lot of what happened in the finale. But so, Chappelle, I'll go to you. You know, the Alpha and the Omega, you were on with Rob in the feedback show to start the season, so we certainly got your opinion there. What do you think of the finale, and how does that either, you know, affect your perception of the season or not whatsoever?
I have thoughts. I do. Because it's like, once we got to the finale, it did feel like, in a way, that anybody could win the season. And that's a good feeling. Well, not anybody. I don't care what these Heather people are talking about. Like, they're wrong. She wasn't going to win the season. But everybody else, except for Heather, could have won the season, it felt like. And so, like, it gave you compelling television to watch. And then you're kind of doing the mental gymnastics in your head about why this person wouldn't get these votes, or how this person should approach the next round, and these twists, the fire making and the advantage. So I liked every second of it. It made me want to go back and rewatch it to kind of track Erica's journey, since it wasn't right in front of you. So that's probably my biggest takeaway, is they're like, oh, I'm going to have to rewatch this very soon, or I'm going to miss something. You know, like, someone's going to bring something up that doesn't make any sense, and I need to be able to debunk it. So I got to go back and rewatch the season, because these people saying Heather was going to win, I just don't see it. Heather herself said she wasn't going to win. So if I can take her word for it, just go ahead and, you know, move along and figure out maybe why Xander didn't win, why Deshaun didn't win, why Rickard was such a big, you know, threat, you know, throughout the season, and why they missed Erica hiding in plain sight. So I enjoyed a lot of it. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a really interesting episode for many reasons. Obviously, we'll sort of talk about, like, the weirdness that was the after show, but I do feel like there's been a lot of talk about the storytelling and the edit of this season, especially looking back on it. I would say upon first watch, the finale felt a little, like, incongruous to the rest of the season, specifically with the Xander stuff. Obviously, you know, Rob and I talked about this a lot last week. It came out through Danny's exit press of, like, oh, surprise, Xander's a goat. And I felt like, really, in this episode was when they underlined it, specifically the moment when Xander's like, I do not think that Erica has a chance with the jury, because when the truth bomb got dropped, they were laughing. And they're like, that's a bad read, Xander. I think when that's explicitly said, you're probably not winning the game. But I do feel like, almost tied in with the Erica stuff, a lot of the other moments around, and I set up those two specifically as the dichotomy, because Deshaun, I mean, listen, flawed, I think, is the is probably the most, like, generic way to describe the edit. There's so many nuances in there, but, like, particularly the community's response has really been the, like, I can't believe Xander lost and Erica won of it all. And I think it comes back to nuance. And I guess my sort of nuance take on the nuance is that's exciting for, like, the spectrum of Survivor and the new era. It could have done better. If I'm being blunt, I think that, listen, I'll just be really simple. At the very least, with Erica as the winner of Survivor 41, we needed a scene in the pre-merge, at least one, of Heather and Erica having a freaking conversation. That is the bare minimum of what I wanted, considering that in retrospect, not only was this apparently the longest lasting duo in the game, making all these decisions, apparently, according to the two of them, like, it was very Wendell and Dominic-esque of, like, they didn't want to go to the end together. You know, one could have beaten the other if the other one didn't make it, et cetera, et cetera. It just felt like that was one of those other facts that just popped up of, oh, okay, I guess that's a thing. I didn't know about it before. And so I wouldn't say, like, the finale was bad whatsoever. I thought it was exciting, had some really fun moments. Obviously, a historic win that's really, you know, heart-pumping for many reasons about the future of the franchise that makes me excited. But it makes you kind of look back, in my opinion, on the rest of the season, to Chappelle's point, and be like, there are certainly things that we can notice that is fun. But also, to my perspective, I think there were missed opportunities, too, that I think would have made this feel a little bit more of, like, a resounding victory, as opposed to, like, cool, this is awesome. Would have liked some more of it.
Well, I mean, I was just going to pose a question that's, like, very much in the same vein. So Rob and I had talked about this, which is the concept of, like, well, is it the surprise of the winner because that could maybe be an argument sort of in favor that it was like, well, it wasn't so obvious. You know, we didn't get the shoehorned confessionals and it wasn't so blatant. But at the same time, I was like, but then Erica is destined to a life of having to explain why she won the game. And that's just so unfair. So like,
she,
I totally
she said that
excitement.
As much in my interview with her, right? She's like, when she was watching back those first few episodes, she's like, oh, crap. Oh, no. Am I going to have to be the Michelle Fitzgerald now and just like try to counter all these trolls who keep saying that I shouldn't have won?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing.
They did that to her. Yeah, they did that to her for sure. Like, and you can do these fancy editings and hiding the winner and stuff like that, but do it for a man. Do it for some people who have not traditionally, this has not been done to. Like, we've seen this happen to women over and over again, like Michelle and Sophie, where they're just like, I did a lot. And everybody's like, yeah, but this person should have won. But you rarely see that with men. So, yeah, do that. If you're going to do that and we're going to start hiding the winner and not giving them such blatant, edgy, you know, moments, waste that kind of stuff on the man. Celebrate this woman. She is the first woman to win in years. And so, yeah, I agree with you. It's almost like Xander edited the show because everything Xander thought was what we saw, you know, even to where he's like, I don't think Erica would win the jury over because like, what is she really like? What I haven't really seen that they have a lot of respect for her game. Neither did we, you know? So it's like, Xander was like, just telling Jeff like, oh yeah, include this part. Cause this is where I looked good and include this part too. And then he gets like, oh wait, I lost. And everybody's like, yeah, Erica was the biggest bet. Why didn't you take her to fire and beat her? He's like, well, how was I supposed to know? I watched the same show y'all watched. So I think that might be part of it.
Oh, I love this. Release the Xander cut of like him just be like, all right, I think in this scene, please show that I was the one behind the Shan vote at the beginning of the next episode, even though I didn't have anything to do with it. I love that idea of Xander's like, I have everything to check off my bucket list, including walking into the edit room and making them show that I checked everything off on my bucket list.
Right. Yeah, I kind of had one point that was like, I do feel like were the Dodo moments for Xander, like with Heather, or not with Heather, with Tiffany, and very early on when he had to like somehow come up with that lie about the advantage because he was like, I'm telling you for the very first time, and Tiffany already knew that he had it. I felt like that was a Dodo moment. I felt like when he gets snowed over by Deshaun, when he could have used the extra vote for the Evie, when Evie was voted out. So I do think that there were moments of that, but yeah, it definitely felt very overshadowed. And this comes across in the edit. I think it's Rob's fact checker who put this out about the editing of Survivor systematically. It's underrepresented for women and POCs. And in a new era of Survivor, drop the four, keep the one, I think that that's one thing that maybe we were hoping would be corrected. And unfortunately, this season is more of the same.
But let's celebrate what they did correct, or at least, you know, what the jury was able to do was, you know, crown someone who checks so many boxes. You know, I tweeted out the records that Erica has broken too. It's just some interesting mixed responses. I'll leave it at that. But still, I think it's something that should be incredibly celebrated. You know, last week she had that confessional about I want to see a woman win. And I think myself and a bunch of people sort of held our breaths of like, so would we. But like, this is, you know, this has happened before, right? Season 39. And I think now in retrospect, and I actually talked about this with Dalton Ross offline, who he himself was sort of beating the drum of they have to put this in for a reason. It makes me excited of like how Survivor production is handling that element, where season 39 they turned a blind eye to many things, but I think one of them was them being like, oh I didn't realize that so many men had won in a row, so we just threw that in for fun. We didn't realize how it was sort of like a blatant rug pull for a lot of people that were waiting for something to happen. So I really like the fact that this is done more purposefully, and that the jury also like what they were able to look at, and granted it was not in an objective view, juries don't do that, they know Deshaun, Xander, and Erica, so of course they're going to incorporate it in there, but just to have them have so much admiration for that type of thing, like I loved in particular Danny, who could not be more different than Erica in every type of way, just from like a looks perspective and a personality perspective, for him to tell Erica, you played the game that I want to play, I don't know, that felt really cool to me personally.
The jury makeup was interesting to me as well, because people seem to be confused as to how Erica managed to get all these votes, but like when they started to talk, I was like, well, it's kind of obvious at this point, like it doesn't look like there's a world where Deshaun was going to win at any point, you know, after a while it looked like he had burned enough bridges where they didn't really like, he got Danny's vote, but I think it's just because they were so tight. But when it comes to Erica, it just looked like Xander was overlooking that she was the biggest threat after Rickard. You know, like, we had got beat over the head with Rickard is the biggest threat. Rickard is the biggest threat. Rickard is the biggest threat. When they got him out, you like, Xander should have been saying, well, who's next in line? And I think Xander thought he was next in line, when in reality, he was taking the biggest threat to the end. He was Kobe, you know, like, he was looking at Tina like, oh yeah, like, if you win, you win. If I win, whatever, but it's be close, whatever. But Kobe didn't necessarily want to beat Tina. He knew he was going to lose. I don't think Xander knew he was taking Tina to the end.
Well, what was it in the, it was in the after show that Jeff said something along the lines to Xander of like, so you had no social reads or something like that. It was like,
you're always wrong.
Oh yeah, you lacked social awareness is like what Jeff essentially just straight up said to Xander. And Xander's like, well, I made you laugh, blah blah blah, and then goes on to say it wasn't about the win, about the journey, whatever. But I think that was the thing that was so abundantly clear in the finale was that Xander has horrible reads. And I think that needed to be maybe more overt throughout the rest of the season to show that he has terrible reads, because he's constantly telling us that he's in control. He's saying that he's the one who's doing all these things, but yet no one else is giving him credit. And on the flip side, that's what Erica got. Erica got people talking about her, saying that she had a high survivor IQ, that she was the one who, you know, was in charge or was doing things, that she's a threat, blah, blah, blah. So that's like, it's a different perspective. It's him telling us versus us being pulled that from others' perspective that she is a threat.
And I think that's something we need to remember. And I think, you know, I believe if you count the charts, I think Xander and Deshaun tied for the highest number of confessionals of the season. And I talked about this last week with Rob, but like, now I think it really hammers it home. I think both of them are just really good at talking to the camera, especially pumping themselves up. And I think Survivor editors like that. And so I think it makes sense why they got the amount that they did. And I think it also makes sense, given what we have seen very recently with edited winners, why people would think they were the top two dogs alongside Rickard. Of like, well, we saw a lot of them, but it might have just been that they had a lot to say about themselves. Whereas I don't think Erica, just given the way she lives her life, is necessarily someone to come in and be like, I'm the greatest. Look at me. Look at what I was able to pull off. Like, that's just not who Erica is. And I would imagine if you were someone editing a show, that you would not necessarily want to pull that. But again, you could do better, right? Maybe have Xander give this confession of like, I can't believe I'm on the, you know, I'm back on top. Look what I was able to do. And then maybe like, I don't know, cut to Erica being like, Xander's claiming that he made this move, but really, I think it was me and Rickard that were able to do it. You know, almost like counteracting that, I think would be a good way to continue to challenge that idea that Xander has for himself that you're talking about, Liana.
They did that with Deshaun. I think that was the difference. They had the Rickard confessional where he's talking about, oh, Deshaun is emotional. He thinks blah, 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 whatever. And so I think that they chose to do that with him, and they didn't choose to do that with Xander. I don't know why, like, they decided to go all in on Xander versus and Sean, but that's the pattern that I noticed.
Yeah. And we kind of got that with Shan a bit too, because even when in those early moments when Shan and Deshaun were bumping heads, it was a lot of Deshaun's point of view of like, Shan's bossy. Shan is telling me, she's talking over me, she won't let me have an opinion, da, 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 da. But then we get to the end, it turns out like, no, everybody kind of felt that way about Deshaun. And I wonder why they were trying to like make Shan look like such a flawed player back then. Everybody's like, oh, Shan's a little bossy. Shan, this is going to catch up with you. You can't control every vote. You want to be in control. But they weren't giving that content to Deshaun earlier. We kind of got that later on. I think by the next episode after Deshaun vote, I was like, you're really whiny. He's really whiny on the show, you know? And then by the finale, when they're in front of the jury and they're like, but you whined a lot. Like, you were whining the whole time. I was like, thank you. Okay. We see it. And it took a long time, but we got there. So I agree. It's some choices being made when it comes to the editing and how they portray each of these players.
Like, when Shan was like, no, no, not emotional, temper tantrums, pouting. She's powerful. Like, what you did was a temper tantrum.
It's interesting, though.
You're throwing a fit.
Yeah, because Deshaun.
You're throwing an Asher Bloom fit, yeah.
Exactly. Throwing around that garbage can lit around tribal council. Maybe he does that with the podium, right? Just picks up the podium and starts throwing it around. The thing was, there was not a tantrum. Asher just does that at his leisure. So, like, I'm not sure what that equivalent is for Deshaun. It's interesting, though, because, you know, coming out to the show, Deshaun, you know, talked in the preseason about, like, oh, I'm going to be somebody different to the players and to the camera. So maybe that's why I fell for it, of like, oh yeah, I think Deshaun could still win because, like, yeah, he's complaining confessionals, but maybe he's just saving it for that. Evidently not. And look, I will also give massive kudos to Deshaun and Xander, who I think have been a bit pulled through the ringer. I think because people have been so vehemently in support of Xander, people have then also been, like, vehemently in complete abject opposition of Xander as well, of like, what a terrible person, what a terrible player. It's not the case for either one of them. And honestly, this is one of my favorite final threes in quite some time, because to your point, Chappelle, like, talk about a pretty flawed final three in terms of just the way their stories were told, to the point where everything was up in the air in that regard. That is far more interesting to me than anything we got with Tony, anything we got with Tommy, anything we got with Nick Wilson. Just this idea of, like, oh, it's very clear from the get-go that this person is, you know, getting the win because they're squeaky clean, they get strategic content every episode, they're not shown negatively. I like that because it harkens more so to reality. So I love the fact that all of them had such dirty stories in a manner of speaking, even if Erica's was a little bit fabricated. And also kudos to those two guys for having to, like, they just got personally eviscerated, like, personally, not even strategically, like, being told to their faces, Deshaun, you throw temper tantrums, Xander, you're completely aloof and unaware, and by the way, you lost near unanimously, come sit and talk about it to Jeff Probst for 30 minutes, like, good on them for not just walking off the set, to be completely
candid.
Would
you like some pizza? You can have unlimited pizza.
Yeah, like, it's a rough situation for them to be in, I can imagine. And, like, it seems like they not only kept high hopes, but, like, really both seem to take something personal away from that. Maybe it's their age, you know, they're both relatively young. And I think people can certainly walk in there and be like, the jury told me off, but I don't give an F. That's who I am. Screw the haters. But they're like, oh, no, I guess I need to work on these things as a part of myself. Survivor is not life, but if you can use this to incorporate life lessons, like, that, it honestly is incredibly admirable, Chappelle.
Yeah, I have two things to add just because of what you said too, because could you imagine this situation? Let's go back a few years. We're in Samoa and Russell Hance loses Survivor Heroes versus Villains to Parvati and Sandra, and just like, all right, we're reading the votes right now and we're about to eat pizza, and Russell Hance is going to murder everybody. Like, he's just gonna stand up and just start stabbing people with whatever he can find. Like, they have to drag him off the set. There's no pizza, there's no champagne, people are crying, people are dying. Like, you just don't have that kind of reaction back then from certain people. So to see them be able to sit there graciously and eat, you know, pizza while their world is spinning out of control. Like, they just thought they won, you know, in a lot of ways, or had a good chance to win. And now they're being told, like, no, there's no world where you're going to win this game, either one of you. So yeah, I appreciate that for them, because at least they were good sports about it. It was tough. I wouldn't have put them in that position, but it happened. And my other point is that I related to Deshaun a lot, because as a black man watching the show, I also would be flawed and messy and an asshole sometimes. Like, I would be horrible TV. Like, well, no, I'll put it like this. I'd be horrible TV for me to watch. Right. Everyone else would love it, and then they would watch me crash and burn. So I was like, okay, Deshaun, I relate to you. But when people say they don't like Xander, that last episode, I mean, it completely won me over. I had no harsh feelings toward him, but I was just like, this is the sweetest kid who ever existed. He almost burst into tears when Rickard told him about the pregnancy, and like every step of the way, he's like, well, I don't want to do that to my friend, and I really want to do this, but I don't know. And he's like feeling like you can feel the empathy coming off of him. I was like, this is the sweetest kid ever. So if you're being rude to Xander, shut the hell up. Like, we don't need that right now. He's been through a lot. That's all I have to say.
No, totally echo that. If you're being rude to anybody, also shut the hell up. Like, we don't need that right now. And oh my gosh, I don't know how Deshaun's answer in response to the, well, you know, obviously I have a certain perception of myself, but clearly, like, there are things I need to learn and grow. And I was like, how did you just answer that? Like, right after you were essentially slapped in the face with only one vote. Like, Jesus, I was so impressed. So impressed with both of them and the way that they handled it. And I think ultimately this was although it would have been exciting to see Rickard, in terms of the final three, this is the one that I was the most, probably most excited to see, like, 100%. As a final three. Mm-hmm. Also different, no idea how they were going to necessarily be perceived. I felt like there could, you know, you could theoretically make a case based on what we had seen for all of them. So this was just a really riveting final three.
Yeah. And so, like, so Survivor editors, like, the way you're editing for that, awesome, amazing. Maybe also incorporate that into your winter story as well, right, to like show a whole journey instead of, you know, and this was talked about a bit in Heather's interview with Dalton Ross. And I would imagine this plays a bit into the whole Erica edit conversation as well, that Heather, good on Heather in many ways for like going directly to the source of the problem. If she does have to register a complaint, she apparently had some issues with her edit in the first couple of episodes, understandably so, apparently called Jesse Tannenbaum, the casting person that put her on the show, and said, did I do something to piss someone off? Did I break the rules without realizing it? Why am I not on the show? And listen, this might have been the company line that Jesse gave her, but what Jesse apparently told her was, look, the first few episodes were so advantage heavy, and they edited people who were finding the advantages and the stories around them. And unfortunately, that sort of leaves aside the people that weren't finding the advantages. We saw that even with someone like Jeannie, for example, who didn't really pop until after Brad left. We saw it on Luvu with Heather and Erica, who were like two of the only people not involved in any advantage stuff in that first few episodes. And that just goes to show how, again, I think this cast did a great job at side skirting a lot of production malarkey that was thrown their way. And I think, unfortunately, this shows how when you throw stuff in and you have to edit to evolve and revolve around those things, unfortunately, that really just minimizes a lot of other content that could mean so many volumes in terms of the game that we're just not going to see. Because apparently these people did not find, you know, a magic scroll in a tree or whatever.
Yeah. Not the magic, you know, scroll. You mean the, wait, what is it? The place of the trees dance?
Yes, exactly. The treasure hangs where the trees go to dance.
Yeah.
Yes.
The sock hop, the tree sock hop.
Not the sock hop. You know, you could have edited out Jeff breaking the fourth wall so many times. How about that? How about if we have so much damn time that we can fit Jeff in here just like randomly being like, and that's how you do it. Like, no, take that out and have Heather say, and that's how you do it. You know, like, it's fine. Then you just show her for two more seconds and she doesn't feel like she wasted her life losing this game, starving to not even be on television. I feel like there were ways, but Jesse probably made a good point. You give 6, 7, 8 people an advantage and they send 6 random other people that may or may not include those people to tribal council, why would I show Heather, you know, in that moment, you know? And so, yeah, they painted themselves into a corner. This is not absolving them from anything. This is the way y'all set it up. And so this is what we got to deal with. Maybe in the future, now that they know that, you don't have to show all of that, or you don't have to include those advantages. Like, cause the JD sucked up a lot of airtime, you know,
but
he was like an advantage guy. You know, he went to the Shipwheel Island and, you know, he was going to tribal council. It was a lot of JD. I think he had the most confessionals throughout the first 4 or 5 episodes, like by a long shot. And then after him, still, I think he's probably still in the top 5 or 6 people from the whole show. And he didn't even make the merge. So, yeah, that I think there are areas where they can improve. But it's the first season. Remember, drop the 4. So we'll see what happens in season 3, because season 2 is already filmed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, and Heather, it's funny to talk about Heather, because have you seen Heather's Ponderosa video?
Oh, yeah.
Where she's like samples all of Ponderosa in about 45 seconds. It was absolutely hilarious. So I was like, okay, clearly there's something entertaining. I mean, obviously she was put on reality television, so there's got to be something inherently entertaining about her. But it just, yeah, it was like, it was a little sad because it felt, you know, like a missed opportunity. But also, I guess I understand it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, again, it's this thing of like, you have such a great cast, and I will continue. My drum is broken from how many times I have beat it saying that this cast is great, because I think this cast is great. And I think this gives me full confidence in the new era of Survivor, because no matter what gets thrown their way, I think the people continue to be the best part of modern day Survivor in many, many ways. And it just shows that like every single person, including Heather, who many commented like, oh, she's taking up space on the show. Even we took our jabs of like, is she a mole? Is she a production plant? you know, for her to be able to showcase that personality, I think shows that there was a reason why she was cast to begin with. And she had an impression on the game. It just wasn't shown due to the people they chose to highlight, and B, the fact that, you know, during the first part of the game, she wasn't going to tribal council and she wasn't finding special secret things. And so they weren't necessarily going to highlight that. To Chappelle's point, I hope they can sort of scale back on that and incorporate more personal materials in there, especially if there are going to be like very important relationships that are going to bear out until the penultimate day of the game. But I think my overall take on the season is just incredible solidity. I think it was a very, very solid season. I think there were very high highs. I think there the low lows were not on a personal level as some of the recent controversies on recent seasons, but sort of has you shaking your head sometimes. But like overall, I think this cast really made this season. I like the risk that they took in terms of storytelling. Could they do better? Yes, but like it's a very solid season of Survivor, in my opinion, and that makes me excited considering that I think where we had been going prior to the hiatus was not necessarily what I would be saying, you know, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. The Malolo, the Malolos.
The Mahahas.
Go no lower. What was Seabass's quote?
It was the Malolos can't go no Lolo, I think, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Classic.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Well, on that note, actually, let's talk about Seabass, because his name will come up actually a couple times as we revisit preseason predictions in so many ways. This is a supersized version of the preseason predictions, because we are doing a wholesale look at our thoughts, not only preseason in terms of the final five, but maybe overall. We got a lot of stuff to revisit. Let's start with our final five, though, because, of course, we got to finish up what we wrote out with our preseason predictions for the season. Liana is shaking her head and grimacing. Do you know what's coming ahead of you, or are you just like preparing yourself for the inevitable?
Yeah, no, I know what's coming, especially for yeah, that's fine. We'll find out. We'll get there.
Okay.
Well, all right. Let's, yeah.
Should we go in reverse order? Should we start with Ricard, or should we start with Erica?
Yeah. What do you? Yes. No. Let's start with Ricard. Okay. All right. So Ricard.
Yeah, let's start with Ricard. Very much top of mind for Chappelle. I know that he was your first pick off the board in the draft. So I would imagine he was sort of like your de facto winner pick as a result.
Yes, my heart is hurt because I picked Ricard first, and for a second, I really thought I had it. And then everybody started talking about what a big threat he was. I was like, God dang it, he's going to lose the game. Because everyone's just like, when the moment he loses the challenge, he's gone. And I'm like, oh, he's not going to win them all. He's not. So it hurt me. Also, Erica just tweeted me and she is taunting me for not picking her in the draft. So this is probably a good moment to talk about the draft a little bit too. But yeah, I loved Ricard on this season. I just wish I was right about him winning. Erica, congratulations, but man, it hurt to lose to Taryn this way.
Well,
oh my God,
Chappelle, I gotta admit something. Me too. I am in the same boat as you. Ricard was my winner pick as well. So close. Now look, listen, I'm an easy person to buy off. Part of it might have been because he was sliding into my DMs during the preseason talking about how he was excited for the coverage that we were doing. So look, I'm not. I that might have been a personal, you know, slight towards that. But I, too, thought he was able to, you know, came in with a very concrete plan, slide under the radar, be a, like a light back at camp. And then as soon as the post-merge hits, just become challenge beast. He did that and he nearly got there. You know, the people very rarely live up to their preseason expectations, but like he was able to do so and supersede it. So I'll go first here since I did have, I would imagine, the brighter prospect for Ricard by comparison, obviously, to Liana. He was my winner pick. I said that he would make the first final three deal of the season with Sarah and JD. I said, though he blanches at doing camp work early on and earns the ire of hard workers like Brad and Jeannie, he's socially integrated enough to be in a comfy position. I would say, despite his do not make too many jokes mantra, he becomes the requisite confessional snarker, which I do think is true. Again, I think he was incredibly shady. He makes a critical juncture in the late post-merge, opting to swap out JD for Voce in his optimal final three because the latter is such an appealing goat. Well, oh, listen, though, let me do a little bit of Mad Libs here. Swap, instead of swapping out JD for Voce, can I do swapped out Shan for Xander? Because that's literally exactly what he did. He wins at least the last two immunity challenges, showing that he's a secret challenge beast. And though he tells everyone about his young child, he doesn't reveal that his second baby is due when he gets back until the final tribal council.
Okay, that's really close.
So his closest ally was Sarah and his enemy was Brad. I'll admit, I personally completely forgot about his second baby being due until he mentioned it in the finale. So I'm glad, you know, August Mike had more foresight than December Mike.
Okay, that's really good. I don't know how I'm even going to stand a chance, but let me go with mine. So I actually also had him making the finale, but instead I had him as a losing finalist. Ooh. So I said that he would play a very cutthroat game and people would feel hurt by him. I said that he would have the most touching loved ones video call. I guess I thought they were going to do some type of like Zoom Skype.
But
yes.
They got one off screen. So you like you're even outsmarting the editors. They get that. So apparently on that pizza reward that Ricard won with him and Shan and Xander and Heather, apparently they got loved ones messages and we just didn't see it.
Ah, okay. All right. Then I feel slightly better about that. I also wrote that we would find out on Twitter that he knows Brent from BB23 because they're both flight attendants. However, Ricard does not like Brent. That still remains to be seen. Jury is out. And then I said for his allies, Shan, Liana, and Tiffany were his closest allies. And I said his enemy was everyone else.
Ooh. I mean, listen, the jury's still out on, you know, Ricard and Brent, but considering his response to some other Big Brother players, I think it's safe to say he's not the biggest fan.
I would say so as well. Yeah, him clapping back at Derek Levasseur is amazing.
I love it. And I don't know if you watched his Ponderosa, but like the taste in this man for Survivor players, it's not saying much, but better than the taste of Survivor pizza. Like, I just loved him, you know, holding up Boston Rob's name and being like, it took you four tries to win. You're not on my Mount Rushmore.
That and like picking up Russell Hantz being like, you're going right back in the box, like not even considering him for the top player. Love it.
All right, Chappelle, it's up to you, man. I know Ricard broke your heart here, or I guess the other players did by voting out Ricard, but who do you think had the better prospects for him?
I mean, y'all both did so well, honestly. Like you switch a few names and yours is pretty spot on, but I mean, Liana does say that he lost and you thought that he was going to win. And then she pulled out the video as well that we didn't even see. Oh, man. Mike, I don't know. I'm going to have to go with Liana on this one.
Yes! I mean, technically, you were closer, right? You got second instead of fifth. So, like, you were closer than, I guess, my guess of first.
Yes. By 1 point. I'll take it.
All right, well, let's move on. Let's move on to Heather. Let's talk about Heather. I feel like Heather, again, talk about her edit, but I feel like she was a big to-do in the preseason. I know she did not, I think was she the last picked in your draft? Like, Chappelle, I believe you got her by default, right?
Yes, but to be honest, I probably would have picked her before some of the other people who went before. Like, so she wouldn't have been my last pick on my board, but she did fall to me last. That is correct.
All right. So Liana, how did that bear out for your own individual predictions of how Heather would do?
Okay, I said that Heather would make the jury, and I wrote that pickleball players are a different breed of social.
Heather will make friends. You're so obsessed with this.
I am telling you, as someone who has just entered the pickleball like arena, they're all so weirdly social and they want to like play with you. And it's very annoying and I don't like people. And so it was very much like, just leave me alone, whatever. Anyway, pickleball players are a different breed of social. Heather will make friends with everyone she runs into and will be a very social member of the tribe. But she will be a silent boot at Final Nine and we will never remember her again. She would be the queen of sitting, hashtag I'm sitting.
Okay.
And she would find the pearl advantage, but would go home with it in her pocket. I don't know what that is. I did not explain.
What is the pearl advantage?
I don't know. I have no idea. I said that her closest ally would be Xander and her enemy would be Danny.
Ooh. All right. I had a bit higher hopes for Heather. Maybe it was the tiger on her shirt. I had her having the eye of the tiger. I did have Heather making the finale. I said that she gets put on the outside of Luvu immediately due to acting a little quirky and separating herself socially from the rest of the tribe. A little quirky, probably meaning making up dreams about your fellow players. I said that she would eventually connect with Nasir and Danny over being parents, which brings her back into the fold and in a comfortable spot in the majority. She becomes the surprise provider of her tribe, able to forage and fish with the meager supplies. I mean, nobody can outshine Nasir, so that was an impossibility. She makes one of the most cutthroat moves in the game when she and Deshaun turn on her fellow Luvu members, going all the way back to when she was nearly voted out first. And ironically enough, despite her provider role early on, she ends up getting taken out in the fire making. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
The writing's on the wall with this one.
Closest ally was Nasir and enemy was Sydney.
Yeah, you gotta get us a mic.
Like, yeah, just give it to him. End my misery.
Yeah.
just put me out of it.
The Sydney. Yeah, it was good. She was quirky. This was a good look. I mean, Heather could have been a provider. We would just never know because they never showed her on screen. So maybe in the future, people will look back fondly at Heather. I hope that she's not a forgotten player in the 40s, but she probably will be.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. She to me comes across as like she's a meme right now, but I think that might fade. No, I mean, and it says nothing about her. It's unfortunate, kind of like the way that they focused on so many advantages and just she was not part of that.
Well, that being said, like, is she the Chelsea of this season, right? Like, Chelsea was sort of memed during Ghost Island. Is she going to be like the, I don't know. I do think she will be noted in the way that other iconic, quote unquote, like noted purple players were noted, right? Like we saw so little of Chelsea that people remember her for that. I could see that of Heather, though we shall see in the later days for quote unquote later days, aka Heather.
Not later days.
Come on, Evie. What was it, Evie?
Oh my God. No, it was when Jeff was like, later days wants to say something. I was like, Jeffrey Probst. How dare you say that? It reminds me of one of my favorite Arrested Development jokes where it's like, you know, sweet, oh, like mom got me this sweet old thing. And it's like only two of those words describe mom. Well, old thing bought it for me. And so that's all I can think of. And I kept calling her when Jeff called her old thing. And I know that's not right.
Which anyway, Jeff, whatever. Listen, sir, you are 60 years old at the moment. Okay. Like the spring chicken has flown the coop. Do not call someone 8 years your younger later days, because you, sir, are latest days from that perspective.
So rude.
Evie set Jeff up for failure when Evie was like, oh yeah, when I get in my later days with y'all, one day I want to be like y'all when I grow up and I'm old. And I was like, Evie, stop. They were trying to do something nice, but I just think it was just teetering that line a little bit. And Jeff just picked up the ball and dropped it, of course. As he does.
Oh my gosh. Classic Jeff. Yeah, it was too much champagne at the little after show.
But
whatever.
Abby has no excuse. They have been eating on Ponderosa for quite some time. Like, there's no lightheadedness going on, just a pure old slip of the tongue.
No, I'm blaming Jeff here. all of that goes to Jeff. Okay. All right. Xander. All right. Here's what I said about Xander. I said Xander would make the finale.
Ooh.
I said, oh, sweet baby Xander. He's so out of his element playing the game of Survivor. he shows a lot of promise as the game goes on, but goes out of the game the same way he came in, naive. He would have my favorite line of the season from a confessional, which apparently I wrote, I'm going to blame Puya for this one. Sick narnar, bro. I don't even know what that means. Dude,
does anyone human ever say that? Maybe that was one of the, maybe Puya predicted the idol phrases.
Yeah, maybe.
you must
maybe
say
season narnar. 41.
You have to say
sick too, fingers crossed.
Oh, Jeff, when you came in on that boat, I really just thought, sick narnar, bro.
All I can think about is my experience in the jungle. Sick narnar, bro. I said that his ally would be his mom, a.k.a. Heather, and his enemy would be his dad, a.k.a. Danny. I don't know.
What a weird family you've created.
I know.
All right, well...
There were some good pieces in there, though. There were some good pieces in there. Yeah.
There was a lot, and I think you've got this one, if I might predict it, because... So I had Xander going pre-jury, but I had him as the merge boot. Again, I did not predict the merge malarkey that would be happening, but I did think he would be going in the merge, which he might have. In a different world, we're in hourglasses and smashed. A lot of stuff happens differently, and maybe Xander's not there. So I said he's our merge boot. After the Yas eradication, oh, that was really smart of you. Everyone turns their focus on Xander and Voce at the merge, and Xander is by far the more dangerous target. He's perceived as the floopy little puppy on Yasa. I picked the wrong animal. He gets a Devin Pinto-esque drone shot of him lying on the beach, starving from the elements. I think that's exactly the opposite. Like, maybe one of the reasons Russell likes Xander so much is because Xander's like, oh, I love living in all this misery. This is my rock concert. You know, he really loved the elements so much. And I said he would have the quietest yet most interesting confessionals. I don't know if it's on the level of sick narnar, bro, but I guess I was on a similar trajectory. His closest ally was Liana. Oh, woof. And his enemy was JD.
Yeah, woof indeed.
Yeah, I don't think this one is close. Liana, you have to take this one. I like what you said about narnar. Yeah, Mike was so far off with just going with Xander going so early and then, you know, kind of struggling in the with the elements. He seemed like he was fine. So, yeah, Liana have Xander making the finale. So I think she has to get the point here.
Sick narnar, bro.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know. It sounds like a snowboarding phrase. Like, yeah, man, did you see me on the mountain today? Sick narnar, bro.
But so gnar, I assume, comes from gnarly, which is an adjective, not a noun. Slashing the English language to pieces, but I wonder in what process did gnarly then become a noun instead of an adjective?
Okay, Urban Dictionary has sicky narnar. I don't know if that counts, but sicky narnar means super beyond cool, awesome, and scary. A term used to describe an ultra cool situation, an event that is beyond belief, hashtag beyond belief, or an object that is so amazing no other term could describe it. Oh, the powder on the mountain was sicky narnar today. That is literally the sentence. Yes.
That Liana, oh, you could take the girl out of Colorado, but you take the Colorado out of the girl. You got that mountain terminology down pat.
That's right, sicky narnar, bro.
What did you all think of the random Xander personal content in the finale, right? Of like the speaking of like his because it's clear that I guess his endurance for the game came from the fact that he's a cross-country runner, and sort of watching his own She's All That-esque transformation. Was it too little too late for you?
I literally forgot he was a cross-country runner, and then all of a sudden he was like, this advantage is like a cross-country race, and then we get the whole montage of the cross-country thing. I was like, wait, what? Like, I totally forgot about this.
Yeah, as a storytelling device, I wouldn't use, like, I used to be a heavier person to tell, like, this story of triumph. Like, I get that that's his story, and I don't mind him sharing his story, but, like, if Survivor's, like, a device to move the story ahead, to be like, oh, yeah, this is Xander, used to be fat. Like, well, what? Yeah, like, okay, he was. I'm sure there's a lot of other interesting things you could talk about with Xander and not paint it as like this like rags to riches story of a man who lost some weight. But I did appreciate the content. Like I said, Xander seems like a sweet kid. Yeah. JD got a lot of content like that in the early days as well. We found out a lot about him. So I was more surprised that they went back to this because it's been a few episodes. They haven't done this for anybody else. Rick Card being the number one pick on the board for like who was going to win the game as they make it to the end. We didn't get that from them. We didn't get that from Erica, who actually does win the game. It would be nice to have that for Erica, you know. When she smashes the hourglass, that's the time where you do the Erica, you know, flashback montage of her story.
Like, do it.
Maybe she did. So I will correct. We got Ricard personal content in the premiere. We got the Erica personal content in that episode where she talked about her parents being immigrants from the Philippines. Deshaun got that content in episode 2. I don't think Heather ever did. Like, she got a lot of focus during the can't throw the ball thing, but I can't remember if we got the whole picture experience. So it did seem like Xander was sort of like the one person left over, though I think a lot of people might have chalked that up to, listen, I think compared to a lot of these other people, he hasn't had a lot of struggle in his life by comparison.
Yeah,
they've lived long lives. Maybe switch Erica and Xander, though. Put Erica's at the end toward like her coronation of her winning the game, and maybe put Xander at the merge when people start to lose sight of him as a competitor, because it seems like after what he doesn't play his idol twice, then nobody ever thinks about voting him out again. And so, maybe just switch him around and it probably would have landed a little bit better. But I like the personal content.
Should. I felt like they needed to do Erica sooner just to like remind us or like, give us more of a full picture of who she is. I do feel like the Xander one was on its own, like whether or not it would be in the finale or maybe the penultimate episode or something like that. It just felt like tonally so different than everyone else's story, like compared to Jeannie's, compared to Erica's, compared to Ricard's. Like it was just very different. And so maybe that's why it needed to be on its own, like in an episode.
Should, in honor of Heather's nickname of later days, should Jeff have nicknamed Xander Earlier Pounds?
Do God, no.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Let's talk about Deshaun.
Anyway, moving on.
Let's talk about Deshaun. I'll start on this one because I had Deshaun making the finale. I said that Deshaun would become the guy in the center of the Luwu tribe in the pre-merge, with seemingly everyone wanting to work with him. I said that he would be the first one this season to stand up and whisper in someone's ear at Tribal Council. That didn't happen, though I didn't expect it to happen in the premiere. Thank you, JD. Or I think that was JD. I said he would win a surprising amount of challenges, which earns him a lot of love from the fans. He gets voted out in fifth with him and Heather in the minority, as they feel he's more threatening than her when it comes to challenges slash fire. That's interesting, considering he whooped Heather. Not whooped, actually. It was surprisingly close fire-making challenge. His closest ally is Danny. His enemy is Jeannie, parentheses, he doesn't like being told what to do. I forgot about that he said in the preseason he doesn't like being told what to do. We should have seen that Shan schism coming from a mile away.
Yeah. Did you have... Oh, wait, did you say an ally and enemy? Did you say that already?
Yes. Ally was Danny. Enemy was Jeannie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So for me, I had Deshaun making the jury. I said that he would be unable to confine his hashtag devious drad side to the audience, and it would seep into his gameplay. He would be an overconfident yet very entertaining player. Think Bradley from Ghost Island. I said he would win two early individual immunity challenges, but ultimately be blindsided. And then I said that his ally was Danny and his enemy was Ricard.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty good about that one. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was not bad. But I have to give the edge to Mike because Deshaun does make the finale. He does make the final three. And we do find out that he doesn't like to be told things, you know, when people tell him stuff, he does not like to go with that. That's one of his things. There was some sloppiness that seeped into the game, you know, his deviousness, to your point, Liana, but I think just having him go a little bit further and actually, you know, him, of course, y'all both hit the nail on the head with the Danny thing, but you know, with him going to the finale, I think I have to get the point to Mike here.
All right.
That makes sense.
All comes down to this. Let's go to our winner. Let's go to Erica. All right. Well, okay. Listen, Liana, I'll be completely candid here. I think it's a race to the bottom. So
who
wants to pull off the Band-Aid first?
Oh, no. All Erica's right, listening to this, just shaking her head and counting her millions as we.
I know, right? Like, please, girl, love the million. Don't listen to us. Look, here's the thing, okay? While, yes, I had her going pre-jury, let's listen to why, okay? I had her going pre-jury. I said she would go early because she would be a total favorite, but go unexpectedly. Think Stephanie from Ghost Island. I don't know why I was thinking Ghost Island.
Yeah, you really had Ghost Island on the brain.
Yeah, I did. Hashtag, and also hashtag. Hashtag swap screwed. Like the woman who had the yoga pants, the colorful yoga pants, who like she was like a big threat to win, and then they took her out pre-jury because she got swap screwed. So hashtag swap screwed. Anyway, whatever. Okay, Blue would never go to tribal early, but when they swap, she gets sold out by Danny because she's only 5 foot tall and he argues that she can't be an asset in challenges and is also a strategic threat. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she was a threat. Okay. Like if they had thrown the challenge successfully, my prediction would have been very much spot on. I'm just saying, keep that in mind. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't disagree, which is why I also had Erica going preacher.
Oh, God, Mike, no. Okay, well, let me just wrap this up. I also said she will attempt to dye her hair with natural materials found in Fiji. I said her closest ally would be Heather and her enemy would be Danny.
Well, I think that the hair dye comment comes from the fact that she had purple hair. So I think it was like, hey, you want to buck the purple trend. Though I guess the purple curse is lifted, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
All right. So, yeah, Eric also going pre-jury. Now, look, I will also say, Rob has a podcast that Cal can attest to this. I had very high comments for Erica in the preseason. I thought she had Purple Kelly upside of being very socially ensconced and being able to make her way far. But in my perverted fan fiction of how the season came out, Luvu went to tribal council exactly once and Erica was voted out.
No.
Which, for all we know, again, in a different world, a different hourglass could have very much been the case. I said that she would produce the most eye rolls at Tribal Council. I said that she would have the most iconic final words of the season where she lights up her fellow tribe members. She is the first to play her shot in the dark die, but loses her vote. And because she's voted out first at Luvu, she never technically votes for anyone in the game in the season. She becomes the edited, unironic favorite of the Survivor gay community who call her Era Queen. I said her closest ally would be Heather, and her enemy would be Nasir.
Yes, Era Queen.
Yes, Era Queen.
Let me just do a quick Twitter search to see if Era Queen has been trending at all on Survivor social. Yeah, I see nothing about Era Queen.
No. Really, I'm shocked. We have to make it happen right now. Eric Queen.
Wait, how did you spell it? Like
E-R-I Queen.
Okay, like Queen with a K or with a Q? Era Queen.
Not
or
Era Queen. Era Queen.
Era Queen.
Era Queen.
Was that it? Just spells Eric Ween, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, Mike, your scenario was so interesting, you know, with them going to tribal council and all the things. It was like, I was like, this is a very interesting, like, episode. She played her shot in the dark. She's rolling her eyes. She's giving us the confessional. She's lighting everybody up on the way out. And we didn't get any of that this season. But it sounds so good. I have to give the credit to Liana here.
Yay!
Liana wins. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Erica did probably have the most iconic final words because she won. So she did get the last laugh. Mm-hmm. And she also does not vote for anybody to win. So there's a couple things that Mike can hang his hat on. But I think Liana wins this altogether.
Shout out to the person who just goes by Yo on Twitter, who is the only person I've ever seen to tweet the word Era Queen, which he did on December 15th.
Of this year?
Yo.
Yes. Yeah. During the finale.
Yes. Era Queen.
Era Queen. Freshly minted.
You're a genius, Mike. A linguistic genius.
This one, should I reveal that Yo is my burner account? I just got really bored and tired of creatively naming things. I just made an account called Yo.
I mean, someone's got to start the ground movement, you know, the grassroots movement for Era Queen. So can't be you. Got to be Yo. Yo.
Oh, I'm saying another one. Charlie Mumford responded to a tweet that Scally sent out of she's winning. And Charlie Mumford said, I think so. Yes. Era Queen. Purple heart emoji.
Okay. So yeah. Maybe,
oh,
look,
wait. December 8th. Stephen Fishback tweets, you know, like his little thing about how, oh, I don't know who's winning. Sophie Clark responds, Era Queen.
Yes!
I feel so vindicated.
I'm just saying.
Ugh, genius. I told you. I said, a true genius.
If something's saying it, well, must be true.
Thank God that's over.
Era Queen certainly has. Well, Leon, it's not over yet. Because...
No!
If you remember... In our preseason podcast, we did some superlatives, and so I went back and listened to our preseason podcast, and I revisited them, and I thought, you know what, let's embarrass ourselves one more time, and let's talk about how we thought these people would do preseason in those specific categories.
All right, one last time.
Yeah, only okay. One last time. After that, we won't embarrass ourselves whatsoever after this. It's only... Never again. Well, listen, right. let's start with embarrassment, because the first category was most likely to get a promo, and I said Eric Abraham with my whole chest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Come on, Eric. Okay, that's
Eric King.
Eric King. The first grenade of the season, or the grenade. I don't know if, because there were two boots in that first episode. I mean, Puya,
and they both went to Puya, so it didn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Did I have Evie or Ricard written down as my two options?
Yeah. You said Evie, because you said that Evie, quote unquote, has the right voice. You just like had that feeling. And to be fair, like, I don't think we got any like big promos. I did put Shan out as an option as well.
Okay.
In which point you said that you were obsessed with her, and so was literally everyone in the game. So you accurately predicted that. But I think you also predicted, like, Evie wasn't in promos, but my God, was Jeff Probst obsessed with Evie, in my opinion. Maybe it's because Evie was like a diligent student, right? Like raising their hand at tribal council. But I feel like Jeff Probst loved the crap out of Evie.
I mean, Evie was so positive and upbeat. How do you not be obsessed with someone who's like that? It's like, yeah, it is a little bit like the kid in class when you're the teacher, you're the professor, and like you have the one kid who's actually like super excited to be there. That brightens your day. So I totally get it.
Yeah, Evie was our little turtle, you know, and so I loved it. I loved all the content we got from Evie, even when Evie was doing the previously on. They're just awesome. Mm-hmm. So I was happy that Evie was on my team, even though. They didn't win. Robbed. Yeah. Robbed. Evie was robbed.
Robbed. Eric. No. Evie Queen. No. Evie Queen.
Evie Queen sounds like a off-brand of bottled water or something.
It does.
I was thinking of vodka. Yeah. Okay.
Both things can be true.
Well, because you're thinking Queen. You're thinking of Everclear, I think.
Okay.
And Mike's thinking of Evian.
Yeah, I think that's actually very true. Like, bad word association.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that says about us, our personalities, but that's fine.
Well, speaking of which, the other side of the, like, promo, you know, divide, most likely to get purpled, I did say Era Queen.
Not Era Queen!
You weren't wrong. I mean, she was pretty purple, you know? Purple in hair and purple in edit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What did I say? I have Sarah and Xander as my two options.
Those were the two that you gave. You specifically said, Liana, I don't know. Well, you had watched Ghost Island for the rewatch, and maybe this is why. You said that Xander gave you major Seabass vibes, and you kept saying that over and over again.
He talked about Xander candy.
And that's true.
Seabass talked about candy, banana flavor.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I feel like Xander and... But I feel like Xander and Seabass would hang out with each other, but it's very much Goofus and Gallant. Like, Xander would be like, of course I'll clean the dishes, Mom. And Seabass like, I threw them in the trash. Well, you know, we could get other dishes. Like, it's very much the two opposites way to approach a situation.
Yeah, the survivor, Goofus and Gallant, Xander and Seabass.
I was wondering why all the Ghost Island references kept coming up, because I was like, I don't remember that season at all. Like, I know it happened. I was there. I watched it. But like, y'all brought out, y'all said Chelsea, y'all said Stephanie and Seabass. Three, and I was just like, who are these people? Like,
no, and like, Bradley. Cleaky, or whatever
Bradley's,
his name is.
Bradley's unforgettable. You know, when Bradley said the sand was too dirty, I was done. So, you know.
Brad King. Lots of people were saying about Brad from this season.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Brad King. Remember Genie Brad? Queen. Yeah, remember Brad. remember Broccoli Brad.
The thing about is I've just been looking at the trees and I've been seeing broccoli and I've seen a bunch of little broccoli trees.
And I was thinking my hair reminds me of broccoli.
I'm like looking like a piece of broccoli, and you know broccoli like is a little small trees are broccoli.
I'm like a tree.
That's gonna be next season, right? It's gonna be like, well, you know, I'm wearing this brown shirt, Jeff. I kind of look like a potato, and a potato has skin, and I have skin, so I'm a potato man. I'm Mr. Potato Head, Jeff.
I'm not gonna lie, I was so excited when I saw that the random phrases were gonna be coming back for season 42. I was like, yes, yes, I need this in my life. I am a potato. Potatoes have skin and I have skin,
Am I a potato? The best part is it's a question. It's a legitimate inquiry about yourself.
Yes, of course. Sounds like something I can't wait.
From my mind. Yeah, but this is definitely a Chappelle-ism. This is me talking like, am I a potato? I might be a potato.
Yeah. This is a Chappelle tweet. Like 3 a.m. Like,
it really
you
is.
You ever think that you're a potato?
I wonder if that could be applied to like other, like apples have skin. I have skin. Am I an apple?
I think I'd rather be an apple than a potato.
You'd rather be an apple than a potato?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sweet, more easily bruised.
Wait, isn't there the science thing, Liana, you're the expert, isn't there the science thing where they say if you like blindfolded and you bite into a potato and you bite into an apple they would taste the same or something like that? Like I think I saw that in like a book or something like that, where people like if you can smell it or something like that, then they're like they would be identical or
you know
something
that,
like that
is a really great phrase though for Survivor, right? It's like, you know, Jeff, the interesting thing about Survivor is, like, you know, you take away everything and you just look at people's games, they're basically the same. Like, if you close your eyes and you took a bite out of an apple and potato, they basically taste the same.
You plug your nose, they taste exactly the same. Okay, well, that's a new stream idea for Puya. No one tell him. I'll make him. I'll be like, we're doing a taste test today. You have to be blindfolded. Enjoy this potato.
No, next fall, do an apple taste test. Do like a live list of apples and then just throw a potato in there and see what happens.
Just try it. Let's just see.
But his nose has to be plugged. That's the key. I think it comes down to smell. Yeah.
Okay.
So I saw that in science somewhere, I promise. I didn't just make it up.
No. Like your smell. So the way you smell things influences the taste. Like that system, that olfactory system, it's all connected. So, you know, that makes sense.
Potatoes have a smell? I don't even think about like, so this smells like potatoes in here.
Yeah, they don't have a smell. That's why you smell apples and it smells different. I don't know.
Yeah. Are there any potato scented candles?
I don't know.
A potato soup scented candle.
Oh, there's a mashed potato scented candle, which feels different to me.
That feels different. That's butter. That's like butter, garlic is like the predominant smell. Because potatoes
like
are smell potato. Neutral. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. Like maybe a little bit of cheese and bacon and chives and like that kind of going on. It's not okay. We need to stop talking about this. I'm very hungry now.
You're right. I was about to say the same thing. Like a potato would sound so good
now. Sounds actually really good. Like the only time I've literally ever craved potatoes in my entire life, I'm like, yes, I need a baked potato right now.
But it was skin and all.
And all, baby.
You know, humans have skin too. Exactly.
Maybe you're a potato. You crave yourself.
Most likely to flip, Liana, you said Sydney. Because she was giving you major Haley Ford vibes.
Ah, yes.
And I said Deshaun. And I also pointed out that, remember in his preseason where Deshaun kept saying he was from San Bernardino, California? And we're like, oh, I'm sure he's going to mention that. Never made the show once that he was from San Bernardino, California.
It was one of those, it was very much like as a blah, 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 I approach it this way. It was like in all of his preseason press, it was like, as someone from San Bernardino, I blah, 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 blah. It was very weird. Maybe the producers were like, no one cares. Like, stop talking about
Deshaun, let me stop you there on day two. Nobody cares where you're from.
No one cares. No one cares.
We had most likely to start a podcast. I said Voce because he looks like Ben Shapiro.
Oh, yes. I remember that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because I had the casuals comment that said that he looked like Ben Shapiro. I remember that. Mm-hmm. I like that. So it blazed in my mind. Okay. But did I read mine? I know what I have written down. Did I say Ricard?
You said Ricard, and the podcast was called Flying the Survivor Sky. And then I informed you that Ricard already had a podcast at that point.
Yes. Okay. That part I forgot. Damn it. Fine. But he should rename it Flying the Survivor Sky. Did I say that at the time? He should rename it. It's a great name. And I allow him to use that name if he so chooses.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll come back and like podcast about Survivor, do you think? Because he did Big Brother 23, or do you think he'll like stay away from podcasting about the show specifically?
Based on his Ponderosa, he seemed very high on everything, so I don't know.
He seemed very high on himself, and not to say that he shouldn't be, but like, Ricard is like, no, I was going to win the game. Like, I was going to win the game. I didn't make any mistakes. I was going to win the game. And so I feel like if you think that about your game, then you definitely got a lot to say about it. And so I could see him having a podcast. You know, he'd probably be a great guest on Rob Has a Podcast as well. Because, I mean, like, I know that's bottled up in him. And I listened to his exit interview with Rob where he was saying, I don't want to be consumed with the idea that I might play again one day. Like, I want to be able to enjoy this one time that I had and not keep thinking about the future. So I have to imagine that if he's like chomping at the bit to go out there again, that he's going to be good podcast content, you know, moving forward. So I wouldn't mind to hear him fly the survivors, guys. Is that what you called it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a flight attendant flying the survivor skies.
So now here's the question.
Whatever.
Who's his co-host?
T-Bird.
Brad from BB23.
Oh, no.
Brent,
what's cooking in your mental Brent. Today? How are you feeling about these players?
Yeah. Oof, that'd be horrible.
No, I mean, the correct answer, though, is Shan, right? Like, because these two, it's going to be like Bob the Drag Queen and Monet, right? They're going to get in so many arguments on the air together.
Yeah, it's if they talk to each other. Do we know that's if that who's relationship Bob and who's has healed?
Bob and Monet are two drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race.
No, I meant which one is which, Mike?
Bob would be Ricard. I feel like Bob would be Ricard, and I feel like Monet would be Shan.
I disagree. I think Ricard's most likely to be Monet, because I think Monet took the whole sponge dress thing and ran with it the entire season. I fully expect Ricard would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah, that's fair. I can see that.
Cool.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, that was a big moment out of their Ponderosa as well that surprised me. Because it seems like they're good now, but Shan gives the complete cold shoulder to Ricard the first day he's out of the game. And it's like, I mean, it's interesting, though. If you watch the Danny Ponderosa, it seems like Shan was still having a tough time decompressing from her blindside, so I can understand that. But I don't know. I was as surprised as Ricard would be. It seemed like when she told him, you have my vote for $1 million, you'd imagine there'd be some sort of conversation happening after that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they hugged, but then after, like, we saw them hug when he gets to Ponderosa. But then after that, when they had the whole, like, morning afterwards, and she's just, like, not talking to him. Yeah, I don't know. It was awkward. I felt bad. It felt uncomfortable.
I think it's one of those things where when you leave the game, you think you know the person that you got to know, right? And even when you got voted out or whatever, you're like, I'm voting for you, I love you, whatever. But then when you get to Ponderosa, people are like, yeah, so clearly you and Ricard are good. So you knew the conversation we had about voting you out. And she's like, what? Excuse me? Like, like 2 rounds ago, he talked about voting you out. And so even if it was a fake conversation, like a lie or a decoy conversation, you don't know. So then when they come back, you don't want to be the person running up to them like, oh my God, you're robbed, when secretly they could have been conspiring behind your back or something. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that has something to do with it. Like, you have to get to the bottom of all your questions first before you can fully embrace them. They look like they're good now, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I hope that's good, because I did feel bad for Ricard, who was still clearly like decompressing from game mode, that he was legitimately questioning, okay, she was my best friend in the game, but like, okay, maybe that wasn't real. Like, it's clear you don't want to engage with me outside of the game in this case. What does that mean? But yeah, it seems like they are on good terms now. So I guess absence makes the heart grow fonder in that regard. Most likely to have an advantage screw them over, because man, we had a lot here. I said Danny, interestingly enough, which I guess second-handedly happened.
I think it counts, the hourglass. I think it counts somehow. Like, if he was the one who's most vocal against it, I just feel like then he was the most screwed over by it.
Yeah, and Liana, so you said Shan, but in the way of like everyone else had an advantage except Shan, because you said this always happens to the players that I really like.
Yeah, yeah, I even have that written here in my notes. I said Shan because I love her, and that's what happens to the players that I love. Oh yeah. Man, that good didn't point. Happen though. Nah, that's all, I'm okay with that.
Danny probably is the one you have to say is most screwed, because in Danny's world, they vote out Erica there, and then we don't know what happens, right? So yeah. The person that wins the game, if it wasn't for that twist, they would not have won the game from what we can see. And so, yeah, maybe Danny is the most screwed. I'd probably argue that Evie got pretty screwed too, you know, with the tribes splitting down.
Yeah, I honestly might argue.
I would say that.
Between that and the actual merge tribal council, like having them as the only option on the table, right? Because it was like all Lulu people except for Evie that were up on the chopping block. Cindy, I guess, would be up there as well, considering that she was the one to actually succumb to the hourglass twist. Most likely to get eaten by the monster. This was a super vague superlative that you and I took in completely different directions, Liana. Because I said genie, because it was like, who would most succumb to like the no food, like no nowhere to hide type of thing, which I guess happened. She was voted out in a 3-person tribal council. Liana, you said Xander, but you had no logical explanation.
I still don't. I don't know what the monster... What was the monster?
Mm-hmm.
Season's good over.
Point.
What is it?
Good
what was it?
We went through all of that, and Jeff never once was like, and this is why we call it the monster. It was just like, is Jeff the monster? Is the hourglass the monster?
He unmasked himself being like, I'm the monster the whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
There was time. There was plenty of time for you to incorporate this monster thing that you were telling us about into the actual show. Like when the do or die thing comes up, he could have been like, and that's the monster. And I would be like, the monster. Mm. The hourglass happens. The monster. Like, oh, not the monster again. You know, they just never even mentioned it at all.
I think. So. The monster really is like the happening in the movie, The Happening with Mark Wahlberg and Zooey Deschanel, where like there is a happening, but you can't really tell when you're in it. Like what was the happening? Are we in it right now? It's very much with that idea of the monster of, I guess it was there the entire time, but we never actually explicitly referenced it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that didn't help either of you. Thank you very much. But no, nor was I very helpful with my answer. So I'm just going to stick with Xander. I still don't know what it means.
But you also did talk on a specific like tangent about how he would bro down with David Voce, which I guess they did.
Yeah, for the short time that he was in the game. Yeah, they were like a duo, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
You know... David Voce is getting mentioned a lot in this podcast as well. And I honestly don't know why. he was like a everyone like was talking about David Voce before the season started. And in 6 weeks, I have not heard this man's name. And now today alone, we're like, and David Voce was going to the end. And Voce was in the final two. And Voce got screwed over by the monster. Like, did he? Like, no disrespect to him at all. It's just so funny where at the beginning of the season, he's at the top of everybody's list of people to talk about. And now it's like, oh, yeah, he was there, too.
Well, I think our next one was most likely to play the set as an idol. Is that?
That was it.
I think said, okay.
Yep, you did. Because you said he memorized the facts of the game. And because this is like the Adam Klein Memorial Award, right? Of like, who would, and you said that, oh, he has this very recently in his head. Of course, he's going to do it. So, yeah, again, like Voce, I think, was one of the standouts preseason. Like, he really came in guns blazing. It just so happens that he left the game after 5 days in it.
I feel so called out by Chappelle right now because I, like, have my list right here and I was like, God damn it, I said Voce for my next person.
He knew. Liana, you have to turn off screen share. We're seeing your notes the entire time.
Yeah, no, for real. And it's funny because I was looking through this earlier and I was like, who the hell is David? Because that's what I wrote down. I wrote exactly. David.
That's the other thing. Remember when a bunch of people went by their last name or nicknames? Like I've written down here, like, oh, who's most likely to get a promo? Eric and Chantel. And I'm like, who are these people?
Who are these people?
So that being said, most likely to play the set in as an idol, I said Tiffany because she was older and gave less Fs, which I could imagine with Tiffany. Like if there was an idol hidden in the set, she'd be like, I don't care, Jeff. Baruch Hashem, let's throw this podium into the fire.
Yeah, like, I'll play it. I got nothing to lose. Let's just do it.
It was so nice to be reminded of Tiffany in the finale, by the way. We have been without her for like 5 or 6 weeks, and I just, God, she's such a fun character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was so fun. Yeah. I mean, like, a lot of us had her as our winner pick. Like, we thought she was going to win.
Yeah, this season did a good job of highlighting the players that don't win in a way that we don't see in a lot of other seasons. Like, rarely do you leave a season and say, like, oh, yeah, over half the cast could play again and no one would complain. Like, in retrospect, you'll look back at seasons that are years and years old and say, you know, it'd be cool to see this person play again. But in the real time, as these people were voting out, people were like, no, they're coming back for All-Stars. There's no way. And if you actually look at all the people who people think could come back from All-Stars, probably looking at like 11 or 12 people from this cast, if not more. So that just goes to say, show like how strong the cast was, but how balanced the editing was in certain ways. You know, like I said, still doesn't do any justice for Erica. But I mean, if you want to bring Erica back, you could. Shan back, Xander back. You bring Voce back, but they're like, I won't stop talking about him. But you know, like the other people, they just made such a big mark on people. Tiffany, everybody's just connected to Tiffany. Evie, Liana, it's so good. So I mean, if you'll take anything else from this season, just the cast and the way they showcased them all, it was so good.
Yeah, and I do like that. Say what you want to again about the editing, leave some stuff to be desired, but I do feel like each one of the 18 cast members had a moment in the season. Maybe it was that sort of like shoehorned in personal stuff with the photos, but I appreciate that compared to a lot of other modern day seasons, right? Like a Ghost Island, where it's like, what did Chelsea do? You know, what did Angela do besides eat gross food? Here, you know, even someone like Sarah, for instance, who went in episode one, like I feel like had a good amount of content to it. And maybe that also is a little bit of the tough sort of downside of focusing on so many people in the pre-merge, like your Brads and your JDs and a little bit of Genies, is like, well, as a result, we didn't see much Heather and Erica. But I do think I completely agree with you, Chappelle. I think they had a really great cast, and I do think they let them shine in certain ways, which is good, because that means they trusted their cast in a certain regard.
A certain regard.
Oh, there we go. Well, let's move on to our final superlative here. It was most likely to quote Jeff Probst back to him. I said JD, and I think this was probably the most on-the-money pick I've ever made all season with any prediction I've ever made.
Money!
Yes!
You should have gone tribal!
Tribal! Tribal!
Yeah, I said Danny because he was binging day and night during quarantine, so I felt like Jeff would be on the mind. Is that what I said?
Mean,
that's what I
yeah, you, that was the exact reasoning. I mean, I think you hit a different superlative, like of most likely to yell at Jeff Probst during the season, but unfortunately, that is a different category.
Yeah, to be annoyed with Jeff Probst during the season. Yeah.
So yeah,
he quoted him too. He just said, "Like Jeff, you said we were safe. You said
that's
we were
true.
Safe.
A literal quotation. Safe.
Yeah, word for word."
Yeah, Jeff. It's not a previous season. It's more so, Jeff, let me quote you from 2 days ago.
Yeah.
From 3 hours ago. Remember when you told me you were when I was safe and now you're saying I'm not? What's that about, Jeff? Jeff. You know, so I think there was a little bit of that in Danny. Too. I like that. Both of y'all were spot on.
Yay. Right. Okay. Amazing.
Well, we're gonna move on from the predictions here because we do play games occasionally on this podcast. I've got a game, and it's about the Survivor After Show. So big experiment done, right? Like, obviously didn't know what the COVID situation was like, so they had to do an after show right there on the island. Raw and candid, as Jeff would say. Certainly led to some awkward moments, like all the pizza being passed around, and, you know, again, having to have these people decompress after being raked over the coals in front of people for $1 million. Chappelle, overall, though, what was your take on it? I would imagine we get it for 42, but when Survivor, you know, comes back in hopefully a safer world for 43. Do you want them to continue doing this?
I don't know, because I did enjoy seeing them talk about the game for the parts that they knew, right? So they're talking about it kind of just like, oh no, this is how that happened in my point of view. Don't get that skewed, you know, but not like non-canonical version of it, because I saw the show and
history.
Now I want to
see.
Yeah,
exactly. So I did appreciate that. But another part of me likes to see what happens after they've seen the show. you know, like once they know that this person said this crap about them, or once they know that this plan would not have worked at all and you never had it in the palm of your hands. Like Ricard had a good reason game where he's saying like, no, I don't think I made any mistakes and I think I was going to win. But there are plenty of people who will be in that spot who are like, yeah, I think I would have won. What are you talking about? And the rest of us are going to be like, no, you weren't. You were never going to win. And they won't see it until after they've watched the show. And so I appreciate that. Like, I like watching, no disrespect to Russell Hance, but I like watching him on Samoa knowing that he lost, you know, but like trying to like push through because he knows he was on Heroes versus Villains, but he might have won the Samoa. Like, I like that. Whereas, like, we're waiting on them to see what we already know, as opposed to the other way around. So maybe that's my takeaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally echo what you're saying. And even Jeff talks about it. Oh, we get the authentic, the raw state, the immediacy, the truth without all the hoopla. Hoopla? Okay, whatever, Jeff.
Our later days, like, latest days.
It's like 20s mobster. Like, we got all the hoopla, see? I don't know why that's what I think of. But
we got all the hoopla, see? You know, that classic gangster line.
Hey, we got the sicky narna, our kids. Hey.
Oh, yeah, that's classic snowboarding gangsters. Hey, Al Capone, sicky narna, bro, hey, on the mountain.
Sicky narna.
Look at that hoopla.
They call me sicky narna.
Yeah. 360, the hoopla.
Kids. Okay. So look, we get rid of all the 20s gangsters and the hooplas and all of that nonsense. And so that is definitely very nice to see them in that moment. But also, yeah, you lose that additional information. So I wonder if there's a way to like get that from a Ponderosa kind of thing. So we still get the immediacy and then we can also have the later days information of it all.
Yeah, so that's what sort of, I think, in a perfect world, and granted, you know, for budgetary reasons, I don't know if they could do it, but I would love to do almost what they did in the earlier days of the show. Chappelle, you invoked, you know, Survivor of the Australian Outback. What I would love to do is, on that finale Wednesday night, do what they did for 41, do, you know, a finale and then an after show, and then maybe do, like, a Paramount Plus thing of, like, coming back and revisiting with the cast after the show has aired. And maybe those can be like more awkward Zoom interviews that you edit together, right? Of like, okay, Shan, now that you see what people have said about you, you know, how is the relationship with you and Ricard? Like, I think you could honestly have your cake and eat it too in that regard, or your chicken and veggies if you want to, of being able to get those immediate reactions and then also engage with people outside of the show. I don't know if the show would honestly want to produce more content from that perspective, but like, I think as a fan, I'd be super interested in getting both, because I agree with you both that I think there are advantages and drawbacks to doing each one, and I honestly think the solution would be, let's just do them both.
Yeah, that'd be great if they could pull that off.
The thing that you miss in this format is you don't get the pre-jury at all, so in a normal season, I probably don't care as much. But when you have such a strong cast like this one, like, I do kind of wonder what David Voce was thinking, you know, now he's seen the show. Or, you know, or maybe JD, who was popping so strongly on screen. And I mean, Sydney, who is, just a firecracker in the press and in the media right now. We never get to see Sydney's perspective on the show, you know, like, in an old season, they would, okay, Sydney, you've been present on social media, tell us, what have you been thinking about this, or what's the feedback you've been having about you and this, that, and other, and they could tell us that, but we don't hear about them at all, you know. So maybe it's more of an incentive to play well. It's like, hey, if you don't make the merge, you're not even getting the finale. If you don't make jury, I guess you're not gonna be on the show anymore. So maybe that's more incentive for people to like to get further in the game. But I do miss the idea that we can touch base with some of the pre-merge and pre-jury people.
It felt like they didn't even want to say their names, kind of. Like, it felt like even when she, like, when they were talking about the idols with the advantages, Shan didn't even say Brad's name.
Yeah, she goes, oh, one person who I was close with, who thought it was number one, like, I don't know, did Brad, like, is he who shall not be named? Like, why did he become the Voldemort where his name can't even be mentioned? This happened 2 weeks ago.
I know, right? That was weird.
Is it because they don't know Brad? So Shan's like, oh yeah, there's this guy I played with.
y'all remember him.
No, you remember the broccoli man, right? It's a little broccoli trees guy. Yeah, his name was
like,
Brad.
Who's like, just, Yeah, just this guy. Whatever. He thought I was his number one. He was wrong. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, which one? Yeah. It just name one. JD, Brad, GD, whatever. They all thought I was their number one. You know, regardless, back in the old days when we played Survivor, what, 10, 15 days ago. Right. I think that's what it was. You know, I don't know if it was that he had done something or they were told not to speak of the pre-jury. Yeah. I just think
not
a lot of
his name. If he's not here, he doesn't exist. Right. Shan.
Exactly.
Don't you invoke his name.
Invoce his name. So I have a quiz about the after show. I don't know how closely y'all have been we're paying attention to it. It's its own game within a game, I suppose. So let's test it out. I have some questions. We'll go back and forth. These are multiple choice questions. So I'm not leaving you completely in the dark, or the shot in the dark, as it were. Let's start with Chappelle. Chappelle, over the course of the after show, which I would say starting from when Erica was announced as the winner, starting from that point, how many times did Jeff say the word raw? Did he say it?
No.
Did he say it one time, three times, five times, or seven times?
I did pick up that he was saying the word raw a lot, and I hated every second of it, but I don't know how many times. Like, just hearing Jeff say raw, even here, Mike, honestly, you've said raw too many times on this podcast for me personally. I'm going to go with five, but I was uncomfortable. The idea just makes me uncomfortable.
Just call me raw dog. No, it was surprisingly less. He only said it three times.
Oh, okay. Only three times.
It felt like 50. You know,
Well, he said it in his interview with me. I think he said it in his interview with Dalton. He said it with a bunch of interviews as well. So clearly it was a buzzword. But yeah, he's only said it three times for some reason over the course of the after show.
Still too many times.
Too many times. The raw dog. You have to say the whole thing, Mike.
The raw dog. I apologize.
The raw dog.
Oh, that's the handle. That's another tweet handle that tweeted Eric Queen, I believe, is the raw dog on Twitter.
Ew.
All right. Liana. So in the transition process, right, we get this weird, like, the odd, like, gobos turn on, and he's like, all right, bring in the logo, bring in the pizza, we're doing this now live. Which of these was not a phrase that Jeff said? So three of these Jeff did say, one of them he did not. A, give me some skin, brother. B, I'm good for the money. C, this is an awkward moment. D, this is like the last night of Survivor summer camp.
Sorry, you're saying, wait, what?
He said three of these? He said
no,
three
he did not. No, he did not. Okay, I know the last one he said. He definitely said the thing about summer camp. That I do remember. Okay, so then what other ones do I think that he would say? What? Oh, okay, I feel like he said I'm good for the money. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's two. And then what was A again?
Give me some skin, brother.
Give me some skin, brother.
And then what was C? That was
this,
the one I...
This is an awkward moment.
Why would Jeff say this is an awkward moment?
It was very awkward, though. I mean, they're just like, oh, yeah.
I know.
You just won. Also, let's... Production, everybody come in. We pass out the pizza. I felt awkward. But I don't know if Jeff would have identified that was awkward, you know?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say that one, C, is the one he did not say.
Wait, Jeff, don't Probst pick that yet.
Did acknowledge don't it was that. An awkward moment. Jeff Probst
see,
did not he did not say, give me some skin, brother.
I knew that was so ridiculous, but like, I couldn't believe it.
Well, considering Jeff Probst likes to say, like, let's get it on.
I don't know. Wait, so what did he
walks
say?
Walks over to Xander, like, give me some skin,
some skin brother.
Yeah, like, oh, give me some skin, brother. High five me, Xander. Great job.
I could see it. Okay, so what did he say was awkward?
He literally said, like, all right, Erica, this is an awkward moment. We're just sitting here right now. Well, I'm going to make it, like, we're going to make history even more. Bring in everything. He also did say, I'm good for the money. For some reason, he kept insisting that to Erica as if, like, I don't know, he would run out like he's one of these snowboarding 20s gangsters and like short her the $1 million, which is worth even more to her now that she's Canadian. And to Liana's point,
yeah,
he did say that this is like the last night of Survivor summer camp.
Yeah. She, I'm good for the money. I got you. Exactly. I got you dollar bills.
Don't send the monster after
me. Give me some skin, brother.
Come on, now give me some skin. Give me some green backs, brother. All right. So we're at goose eggs right now, much like Xander's jury vote. But let's see if we can at least dish on it with this next round of questions. Chappelle, who was the first person Jeff hugged after he made his way over to the cast? So he did his usual thing to the camera, right? Of like, we're going to bring in pizza. We're giving in. This has never happened before. We're doing it right here, right now. Who was the first person he hugged? A, Erica. B, Xander. C, Evie. D, Ricard.
He
hugged people?
I feel like he hugged Ricard. I feel like this was the moment where Jeff is like, I'm sorry, Ricard. It should have been you. I don't know. I would like to think that he hugged Erica first because she won, but maybe I have low expectations for Jeff.
The expectation should be lower because it was not Ricard. It was not Erica. It was the teacher's pet in Evie.
You can't blame him.
Shiny potato on Jeff Probst's teacher's desk, and she gets, and they get the hug as a result.
Makes sense.
Okay.
All right. So Liana. So everyone kind of like grabbed their pizza, right? And they sat down in this awkward configuration. Like Erica and Deshaun and Xander weren't even sitting in the order that they finished. This was far from a typical reunion. Who of the following was not sitting in the back row during the after show? So three of them were. One of them was not. A, Shan, B, Danny, C, Heather, D, Tiffany.
I feel like Tiffany was not in the back row.
You've gone from Xander to Deshaun. That is correct. Tiffany was not sitting in the back row.
I remember Shan sitting in the back because she was like right behind the final three. And so you could see her eating. And I felt bad for her because like it's not her fault. But it was just very distracting.
Isn't that the season as a whole? Season 41 was like Shan overshadowing everything else going on.
That's true. That's true. Par for the course.
All right.
Rob was so disgusted with the idea that they were eating during the reunion special. And I couldn't tell if Rob has an issue with people eating on camera or what. I'm like, Rob, you know, they eat on the show all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the entire onus of one whole challenge on the show. One half of the challenges in every episode is go eat something.
They reward her. Go eat something.
It's different. The whole point of the after show is to like convey information, not to watch people eat. Like it is very distracting. And I totally agreed with Rob. We talked about it at the very beginning of the show. He was like, I am on your side. I will champion for not having them eating while they're trying to tell us about their game. Okay.
So you're telling me if Puya puts you an immaculate dinner and you sit down and you go, so how was your day? You say, I don't even want to talk about it at the moment. Let me concentrate on this, and then we'll do it after I've digested.
Okay, no, because normally a conversation is between two people. I munch while he talks to me, and then vice versa. But this is a show. Mm-hmm. We're not putting on a show. We're having a conversation between the two of us. They're lined up. Puya and I do not eat dinner that way. All of us lined up facing outwards. Like, I don't know.
You don't do it Last Supper style? I thought everyone does.
Yeah, we all go on one side of the table. Yeah. No. Look, I did not appreciate it. They could have paused and stopped down. Like, let the final three, especially the final three, eat. Because while Xander was talking, Deshaun and Erica were just like going at it, and totally, I would do the exact same thing. But it was very distracting.
All right, Liana. Oh, no, back to Chappelle this time. So in the very beginning of this, as they bring everyone back, I guess in Liana's point, awkwardly eating pizza. Like Heather, I think, is still standing while Jeff's like corralling everyone in. Jeff says, like, all right, we got a crew offset. They can, you know, bring you any drinks that you want to. And part of the people that are on screen raise their hands as if to indicate, like, yes, waiter, come over and take my order. Chappelle, how many of the people raised their hands? Was it 2, 5, 8, or 10?
I don't know.
Now, there were 11 people on screen in total, we should mention.
Five. Let's go with five. I have no real reason behind this. It just seems like it's somewhere in the middle.
Listen, you followed your gut. And much like Deshaun, you made the right choice. That is correct.
Yay.
It was
cool.
Danny.
It was
Heather, who seemed to be living her best life. She was like, yeah, woo, give me another one. Woo, yes. I don't care. And then it was the three finalists who very much were in need of a drink for various reasons.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm proud of me. I got one.
Speaking of drinks, Liana, how many times over the course of the after show did Jeff ask the contestants, does anyone want a refill? 2, 4, 6, or 8?
Oh, man. Like, it's the same thing in the way that, like, Chappelle was like, he said raw all the time, but it probably ultimately at the end wasn't that many times. So I'm going to go with 4 times.
So you were right on the thinking, but should have gone even lower. He only asked 2 times.
Only twice? No, it felt like he was constantly saying it.
Right. It felt like he was in a business, like every 2 seconds. Yes. Like, do you want another one? Like, damn, Jeff, get off my back.
I agree. Please. Like, there's definitely a Mandela effect. I think what we have it confused with is he only asked twice. There was one time when he himself said, can I have a slice of that pizza, and walked over to it. And so I think it might be a bit inflated in that way.
Yeah, that was a wild moment also. Like, wait, what is happening? Jeff, like, you're the host. You have food. You have access to food. Why are you doing this? It's like the teacher that wants to participate in the pizza party.
Oh, it's by far the Survivor equivalent of turning your chair around and sitting down on it.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, he's so cool. He's so cool.
Let me get to your level here. Let me eat the pizza alongside you.
Yeah.
First of all, y'all need to stop shouting at me. Because as the teacher who turns the, like, who's sitting on the edge of the desk, like,
yeah!
So who's going to prom with whom? Yeah, that's me. In the pizza party. No, this was the equivalent. I think the problem here is that Jeff is supposed to be the teacher. He's supposed to still be teaching during the pizza party. Mm-hmm. It's a free for all. Like, y'all eat amongst yourselves. I'm going to eat. We'll talk, whatever, but we're not talking about the game. You know, like, Jeff's supposed to be hosting. You are not supposed to eat. Because you have to moderate this and make sure the conversation is going. We don't want to see food falling out of your mouth specifically. So that's why I felt like it was too much coming from him. But we will not discuss teachers who turn the chair around, because that's kind of my move.
Should they have said no, then, in your opinion?
Like,
yeah.
It's for us.
No,
sorry.
Jeff.
No.
I would have definitely said no. Like, can I have a slice of pizza? No. Can we have our letters? Remember that?
Oh, here. Give you the pizza.
Get my mom on the phone, and you could you could have your pizza, okay, Jeff, if you want it so badly.
Right.
Funny.
She's so damn hungry.
Negotiation tactics. All right, Chappelle, back to you. So Xander lists a bucket list to Jeff. Which of these 4 items was not a part of it? So again, this is another one where he said 3 things, did not say 1 thing. A, make Jeff laugh. B, find an idol. C, risk his vote. D, get rained on.
I guess it'd have to be risk your vote. Like, why would you want to risk your vote? Why would that be on your bucket list? I don't know why we're getting rained on would be on your bucket list either, but maybe like you felt like that's the full Survivor experience is if you've been in the rain. But risking my vote, why would I want that? Maybe I guess I have to assume that that's what Xander said, because that's probably the one I would least likely put on my bucket list.
Chappelle, you fell right for my beware advantage. It was get rained on was the proper non-bucket list item. Yeah, for some reason, Xander had risked his vote on there as part of his bucket list, which maybe he was editing the season. Maybe Xander created the season. He knew you could risk your vote, and so he put it on his bucket list ahead of time.
He knew about the advantages.
Like, I was going to say, how many other seasons has it been just like, okay, you get to risk your vote? Like, no, like in a Ghost Island.
Ghost Island! <We're> like,
the season that keeps coming back, but to haunt us, literally. But that's why I was like, why would that be on your bucket list of all the things? Like, yeah, the Medallion of Power is on my bucket list as well. Like, you just pick a random thing that happened twice throughout the entire, you know, series of the show. I don't know. I guess whatever, Xander. I was rooting for you. Now I don't know how to feel.
Now that I know you, this was apparently the season that you handcrafted and still lost at the end of the day. All right, Liana. Which of the following cast members during the course of the after show curses and gets bleeped out by the censors? A, Heather. B, Liana. C, Tiffany. D, Erica. Who's paying fines to the FCC of this group?
Shoot. I feel like I remember this moment because she cursed and then she was like, no, no, no. Oh, there was like a, oh, I'm sorry kind of thing. Was it Liana?
It was Liana.
Yes.
Hey.
Okay.
Liana and Potty Mouth, a match made in heaven.
Exactly.
I know. Right. That's why I got it. That's why I was like, I knew she cursed and then was like, oh no, I don't know if I can say that. I feel that energy. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm going a little extracurricular here, Chappelle and the teacher sense. But let's see if this follows it. So I don't know if you saw, but during the after show, there was a commercial advertising that you can watch Survivor on Paramount Plus. You know, it's a long off season. Go do that. Check out our content. Which of the following of these four seasons was not featured in the Paramount Plus commercial? Was it the most recent season of Australian Survivor 6? Was it Survivor 41? Was it Winners of War? Or was it Millennials versus Gen X?
I'm surprised Ghost Island didn't come up here. Yeah, exactly.
Everyone would be dashing over to Paramount Plus to subscribe to Ghost Island.
Bradley Kingy. Yeah.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
I've never seen an advertisement for Australian Survivor. So I'm going to go with that, but just because I've never seen it. I'm sure that's not the right answer, but I must not have been paying attention during the finale when that happened.
Yeah, I think as soon as you heard a different accent, your eyes glazed over, Chappelle, truly, because Australian Survivor did show up in that commercial. They actually made it a point to be like, and binge the most recent season of Australian Survivor as well, which was surprising considering that the show never makes a mention of it. No, Millennials versus Gen X was not shown. I threw in like a relatively popular modern season to see if you would take the bait, but they showed, I think they showed Tony and Sarah making fire in Winners of War, and they showed like Danny in a challenge to advertise like, hey, do you want to watch the season that you just finished? Go to Paramount Plus, you sick weirdos.
To be fair, watch it on repeat. I'm sure I will rewatch the season at some point. So maybe I'm the sick weirdo here that they were talking to.
It's targeted to you and you weren't even paying attention. Get it together.
Yeah, they missed the mark. Yeah, the marketing didn't work in that regard. All right, Liana, of the four personal moments listed that happened in the season, which of the following did we not get a flashback to on the island? A, Danny winning immunity. B, Evie beasting the puzzle. C, Nasir making fire. D, Ricard revealing the birth of his second child.
Shoot, I'm between C and D. So I know A happened. I know B happened. So I'm trying to decide if we saw Nasir making fire. How would they show Ricard revealing? Like, is it a clip of him talking to? Like that just happened, but Survivor would also be like, hey, I know you just saw this 30 minutes ago.
Remember the premiere when JD was like, hey, I made fire.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm gonna go with shit. Okay, I mean, see, pull the Liana there.
Oh, there we go.
I feel like I'm a 50-50. I'm gonna go with D.
You are correct.
Okay. Because I thought about that. I was like, that's such a weird one to say, so it must be real. But then I was like, but maybe it's not real. Maybe it is. Mm. You got me, Mike.
No, well, you got me. That's the exact opposite.
I know, but you gave me anxiety, which is, I think, really the true goal of these types of questions.
Yeah, listen, so regardless I'm exactly. Wait a minute. Am I the monster?
I don't think I'm the monster. Am I the monster?
The monster has skin, and I have skin. Am I the monster?
I have skin.
Therefore, I am the monster.
Science.
All right. Science. Chappelle, what does Heather claim is her, quote, inside age? Heather has an outside age and an inside age.
Her inside age?
It's a really odd term.
Yeah, because I remember her saying like, oh, because I think this is after Evie basically calls her old.
Yeah, this is after the whole later days thing.
Later days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The exact number is where I'm struggling.
Well, luckily I got four options for you. I've got 20, I've got 24, I've got 28. I've got 30. Make your pick.
Would you really want your inside age to be 28 or 30? Like, I'd go with 24. Because I think that's... Listen, I'd go with 24. Just in my place, in my later days, I definitely am like, if I got to be younger, 20 ain't that much younger. I'll go further than that. I'd go 24.
Well, Heather goes 28 in this instance.
Dang it. Dang it.
Well, she's a little bit more later days than, you know, our later days. Mm-hmm. So, like, reference-wise.
Yeah, Liana, what's your inside age?
Like 65. Like, I'm ready to retire.
So that's interesting, because I would say my inside age is, like 18, I think. I'm just so, like, childish and goofy that I'm like very aloof. I'm like Xander on the inside. My insides are Xander age, the outside of me not so much. All right, Liana, last question. Hey, we got a Survivor 42 promo. That's real fun. They were talking about potato skins. So there's one shot at the end of it where they cut to like a bunch of the castaways just showing them in montage. Well, in the background, it focuses on one specific object. What was that object? Was it a match, a lock, a scroll, or a skull?
What? I this is a complete, for lack of a better word, shot in the dark. I'm going to go with a skull.
Fortunately not. It was a match being lit, which is why I wrote it down, because that is such odd imagery. And I also paid attention to it because Christian brought this up in his podcast with Rob, right? That remember in the opening montage of season 41 that we saw the hourglass being smashed, right? We saw the die being placed. So are we going to get some sort of match advantage in season 42? Was this the smoking gun, as it were?
The like final five, final six fire making challenge. It's slowly seeping into the rest of the game.
People hate it on the finale, but maybe they won't hate it at the merge. They just do a fire making challenge. The last person to get their fire is the one who goes home, do or die. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want it. I'm good.
I hope not. I'm not going to think about it. I'm choosing to ignore this.
Maybe it's something where instead of the hourglass, it's like you have until the fire runs out on this match to make your decision.
Okay. All right. Maybe that.
They just really cheap out on props. They're like, well, let's just get a matchbook. We can't build anything anymore. People keep breaking it.
Yeah.
They broke the hourglass for no reason. All you had to do is flip it over. Like, you don't smash it. You could use it again next season if you didn't break it with a hammer.
That is a good point. They love to misuse regular objects on Survivor 41. So that means Survivor 42, it's going to be like, okay, here's a match. This is your reward. You get to eat it. Eat the match if you want to get an extra vote.
Yeah, or it's something where you take the match and you risk your match, your ability to get fire or something for else. I don't know.
Fire in this game is just your life, and maybe you get the match and you can relight your torch and come back in the game. Like the edge of the extinction type.
Here's your match. Go ahead and light it up and rejoin the game.
Yeah, you get voted out. And before Jeff snuffs your torch, you're like, ha ha, I got a match. And they're like, oh shit. And then
right after he snuffs it. And then you just go, psych.
Wait, so that's the super idol. The super idol comes back and it's a match, right? Because you can play it after the votes are read. Like, hold on, Jeff, I'm actually safe. I've got a match here. I'm going to stick in the fire.
I have lit my torch. Right. And maybe it's not the super idol. It just like makes you immune, but it doesn't like no one goes home because it's like we voted and you were going home. The tribe spoke, but no, your match saved you. So you get to sit back down and we'll see y'all next week. I hope the match doesn't come into play. Like, just on record, you can say that.
Listen, this is Survivor, not the match game, quite literally. Well, congratulations, Liana. By score of 3-1, you won this one. You paid the closer attention to the after show, which I guess we all should be paying attention to, see how raw it continues to be for season 42 moving forward.
Yes, only three times as raw as what we expected, but here we are.
What if season 41 was about danger? Do you think season 42 Jeff's gonna be like, this is the rawest season yet?
Yeah, the funnest kind of, or the best kind of Survivor fun, danger, whatever it is.
Yeah, the raw kind of fun.
Yeah, the raw kind of fun. All right. Well, stop hopefully it doesn't come to that. Okay, we're going to play one final game. I know we're running long here, but I worked so hard on this, JK. Let's go over something that I found on the Survivor Facebook page. So we've been avoiding the Facebook page for obvious reasons, but what the Survivor Facebook account posted, I don't know if they posted this on Twitter. I didn't see it on Twitter. I only saw it on Facebook, was they posted the Survivor receipts.
Oh, yeah, they did it on Twitter as well.
Okay, they did on Twitter as well. Okay, great. So I posted one of them. Hopefully you didn't pay too much attention to these with some of the items blacked out. So essentially what they wrote is, here are the receipts of the final five, side eye emoji. We want you to determine the prices of every game move. So essentially they have five receipts, one for each of the final five, and they have a number of moves that they attribute to each one of those players. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you a move, and you have to tell me who the Survivor Facebook or Twitter page attributed that move to. So technically, it's a multiple choice. You only have five options. It's only between Ricard, Heather, Xander, Deshaun, and Erica. And this is also before the finale. So if it says, you know, oh, they won three individual immunities, that would be before the final immunity. So. All right, we just got a few quick questions that we're going to tap into. Mike, this time, let's start with you.
Okay.
So the first move is, let Nasir think that Heather voted for him.
I mean, that's got to be Xander. That was Xander.
Yeah, that was Xander. Okay, point for Mike. Chappelle, who did they give credit to for the blind side of Lena?
The blind side of Liana. Deshaun, I guess. I don't know.
Yes, they did.
What?
So they
Wait,
gave
what?
Credit
oh, wow.
to
what? No, but he voted with her. What?
yeah. So I don't know if this refers to the like Shan Liana blindside where Shan got blindsided, because I will tell you, for blindsided Shan, Ricard and Deshaun both got credit for that. Which is weird to me, because why didn't you give Erica credit for that?
Yeah.
It should be Erica and Ricard, right?
But like, I guess Deshaun, I guess Deshaun from an editorial perspective had the axe to grind, but this one is just completely, like, the receipt is wrong. Like, I'm looking at the receipt, like, though the price is off, I'm going to the counter, like, the price is off right now. Deshaun had nothing to do with that Liana vote. In fact, he wanted to keep Liana in the game.
Like, I would like a refund. This is not, do not charge me for this.
Yeah, in the catalog it said really that Liana was voted out by Deshaun, but actually Deshaun voted with her.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Mike, let's go back to you. What did the Facebook page attribute survived the first major tribal huddle up?
Okay, okay, the first major tribal huddle up. Okay, that's tough because, like, are we counting episode
all of them?
One? Well, because, yeah, there's so freaking many. All right.
Technically.
Because, like, technically it happened in episode one, and so you could say that was Ricard, but are we really just counting the Sydney Tribal Council, in which case I guess it would have to be Deshaun, because he was the only one vulnerable there. I guess I'm going to go with now. Oh, wait. Or are they forgetting and they're saying Heather? Because they think it was the Tiffany Tribal Council. Yeah, going off of what happened last question, I'm going to say Heather here.
Ding, ding, ding. That is exactly correct. Yes. Yep. That was one of Heather's four things on her list, which we can talk about in a second. So yeah, that's a point for
Wait,
you,
so,
Mike.
So to be clarify, there one of her Mount Rushmore accomplishments in the game was she nearly screwed it up, but she managed not to.
Yep. Her first one was survive the first major tribal huddle up.
Even
You're
though
die when I
everybody,
play some of the others.
Everybody in the final five technically survived that same huddle up. Like they all were there.
Yeah. They, none of them got
they
voted
literally
out.
Were just, all there.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure. Making sure we're talking about the same moment.
They literally all survived. So like, okay, sure. All right. Well, how about that? This next one, Chappelle. Who did they give credit to for saved Heather and blindsided Nasir?
Saved Heather and blindsided Nasir. And see, the Nasir vote is something I don't really remember well because I know they were split in and I don't remember mm-hmm. who was on which side at that point. Who would they give credit to for that? Say it's Heather and Blindside and Nasir.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Erica?
Yes, it is Erica.
Ooh. But what?
All
what?
Right.
But she didn't do anything. No, okay. It was Ricard.
Okay, so then on Ricard's receipt, it says Blindsided Nasir. So did he not save Heather? But also, wasn't Erica just immune? And they were. That's why, like, what?
Are these people watching a different show than us?
The only reason I said Erica is I remember that the episode after Nasir goes home where Erica looks over to somebody and they say, yeah, we worked together on the Nasir blind side. So in my head, I remember Erica being like in that. I think she said that to Liana. And so mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so I know Erica was a part of that, but I wouldn't, mm-hmm. if it was me, I wouldn't have been attributing that to her. I just thought mm-hmm. that's what the show had given us to that point.
Yeah. But I mean, technically gave credit to both. So, you know, but the saving Heather part specifically goes to Erica, I guess, because they were so close and such close allies. All right, Mike, played possum to blindside Nasir.
I mean, that's got to be Heather. I can imagine, considering that we just talked about the other two major players in the Nasir blindside, because everyone else was on the other tribe.
Yeah, that was Heather.
So again,
this
that
is
was
a hint of Heather's milestone accomplishments.
Was one, did not self-sabotage, B, played dead to blindside somebody.
Yep, that is right. Okay, Chappelle. Never gave up in challenges.
Oh, my dear God.
Oh, come on. I feel this in my soul. Queen of never giving up. Is this Heather? Is this our Heather moment?
Yes.
The queen, yes. The only one of these five people to never give up in a challenge.
Literally the only one of the five to never give up. Let me tell you what Heather. So Heather's were survived the first major tribal huddle up, played palm to blindside Nasir, never gave up in challenges. And maybe this is the tiebreaker. What was the fourth one? Can you just take a stab at it?
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Like, I don't know, proved moms can do it? I don't know, like something completely macro? That's my guess.
Solid. Okay, that's solid. Chappelle, do you have any thoughts?
Aligned with Erica as a final two.
Okay, both actually would have probably been better. Earned a spot in the final five.
They all did that! Oh!
She was that on every receipt?
That is on everyone.
You know
that
what?
Is
okay,
on
here, receipt. Let me add some more items to Heather's receipt. Breathes, has two arms.
Sleeps on an island. Played Survivor.
Wore a buff.
Heather's list. Yeah, it goes on and on.
Yeah, you guys nailed it. And let me tell you, those four items, I guess, have to add up to $1 million. So I don't know what monetary value you're placing on each one of these moves, but according to the receipt, they have to add up to $1 million. I'm just saying. Okay, so you both tied. You both also did not guess. So let's do the real tiebreaker, which is also receipts, I guess, sort of, technically. The auction for the Survivor memorabilia goes on after every season. It's an auction for charity. They put up the torches of the contestants on eBay for charity. So what we're going to do, we'll go back and forth and we'll do a draft. You can pick the three contestants that the goal is to get the most money. Okay. So pick the contestants whose torches you think are going for the most money on eBay as of time of recording. Okay, so Chappelle, if you would like the first pick in the draft, you may do so. If you'd like to defer, you can also do that as well as our guest.
It's the coin toss.
Oh, this is I definitely want to defer. Yes.
Okay, so you're going to defer to Mike. Yeah. So Mike will do our first pick.
I think it's a chalk pick. I know that she was maybe under-edited by comparison, but I think the idea of the tag being from the winner makes a lot of sense. Plus, she has some coin to do so. We saw this happen with Adam as well for his season. I'm going to go with Erica.
Okay. So, Mike, your first pick is Erica. Chappelle, we're going to you.
Give me Shan.
Okay. Shan. Should we do a snake draft, or you just want to do back and forth? I don't really care.
Just do back and forth.
Back and forth. All right.
I don't want to go again.
Please don't make me.
Well, given the fact that people are trying to raise $1 million for him, I'd imagine they want to give their own dollars to anything attached with Xander's name on it. So let's put him on there.
Okay. So, Mike, you have Erica and Xander. Chappelle, you have Shan. Who do you want to be your second pick?
For the meme, I want David Voce.
Okay.
Yes, the true people's champion.
Yes.
Mike, your final pick is...
Ooh, I mean, I guess... Give me Ricard. I think Ricard is... There's a very high chance that he also pulls an Adam, despite not winning, and be like, yeah, I'm going to buy my torch. I'm a Survivor legend. I'm on my Mount Rushmore. Like, yeah, give me my torch. And so I think I'm going to put him up there as well. Basically, three of the most talked about people on as of Wednesday night, I essentially am trying to chalk up here as the people who have the highest amounts for their torches.
Okay, so you have Erica, Xander, Ricard, Chappelle. Who are you going to pick as your last pick?
Evie.
That's a good one.
Evie.
I feel like Evie's a big fan. Evie would buy their own torch, or, you know, or people would be clamoring for Evie's torch. I'd like Evie's torch. So, yeah, I'd see that.
Like, based on what I would like to own, that's what.
Right. Yeah. Like, someone buy me Evie's torch.
Yeah. You know, so the holidays, you know,
they're approaching
right around the corner. Yeah. Maybe. Okay. All right. So let me tell you, Chappelle, the total amount for your three Survivor contestants was $3,000. Well, $3,030. Okay.
Nice.
Pretty solid.
$30 for David Voce.
Yeah, exactly.
It was honestly not that much of a difference between each one. I think Evie's is going for $1,025. Voce's is going for the exact same amount. And Shan's is the most, I think. Let me find hers. No, it must be less. Wait, what?
Whoa.
Shan's is only going for $980.
Oh.
Yes.
That's a steal.
So I got $3,000 off of Voce. Yes.
Yes. You got
$3,000. The Voce bump.
Yeah, get in on it, people. That is, I don't know. Maybe if this had happened for some reason a month ago, maybe it would be more expensive. That's wild to me that Shan has a torch worth less than David Voce.
I know. Maybe it's like the type of people that are betting on, or like that are bidding on this kind of stuff, or the people that maybe not the biggest fans. I'm not sure. All right. Well, Mike, let me tell you, with the pick of Erica, the first pick in the draft, you started with $2,175.
Wow.
Yes. Then with your second pick of Xander, $1,150.
Wow.
So you have officially beaten Chappelle here.
It's like supermarket sweep.
Exactly. And Ricard got you an additional $1,275.
Damn.
So Mike, you are our official winner here.
Wow.
That's a lot. And
honestly. Okay. Voce was my wild pick, and it paid off. I'm shocked that Shan is so low.
Yeah, so like, do you have like the top five, Liana?
Yep. So Erica, top five, but not one, not two, and not three. I mean, technically, she's actually tied for third. So who do you think she's tied with?
Okay, so if it's not Shan, Ricard, or Xander?
Nope.
Is this going to be like some random ass person like Sarah?
It's Sarah. Yeah, it's got to be Sarah.
It's not Sarah. It's not Sarah.
See, I figured Sarah probably had the rawest go at it. Not to say raw again, but, you know, like, you she went home first. So maybe people were like trying to throw her a bone.
Is it Brad? Did Brad's family try to buy him a torch and just got outbid?
No, at least not that I can tell. Brad is going for $1,025. The same value
That's more than Nasir, Shan.
The more than Shan. Same value as Nasir. Same value as Tiffany. Same value as Voce. Same as Evie. Same as Deshaun.
Wow.
So, who is tied with Erica for third place?
Who didn't we name?
Is it Heather?
Jeannie?
Heather?
Is okay. it?
No, Heather is in fifth.
Wow. Okay.
Jeannie.
It is not Jeannie.
Is it JD?
Jeannie well, is at 1,000. Not JD. JD is at $910.
Wait a minute.
Who is
are we getting the royal court here? Is it Eric Queen and Eric King? Is it Eric Abraham?
It's not Abraham.
Okay, I was about to walk out of here. Like, what is happening? Liana, what's the answer?
It's Danny McCrae.
Oh!
He's going for $2,175. So tied at the moment, based on the bids with Erica. Now, Chappelle, I am mentally prepared now for you to walk out on this podcast when I tell you number one and number two. It's Sarah at number one, and it is Abraham at number two.
Okay,
I do not understand. So, I do not understand.
I have a theory, because there's a reason why I thought Sarah was number like three. I figured because they went home first, maybe theirs has been up the longest, or maybe like it's one of those things where like theirs is probably like the least worn, you know, like
so that's
basically
that's,
a brand new
that's
toy.
My theory as well, is that its quality is lightly used. And it's like, oh, if I want to use this torch, I don't want something that's been around for 26 days, you know, around the stinky beach. I want one that's barely used. This is perfect. These people went home once.
It's got the tag still on it. You know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it has his initials carved into it. Like both of the element, I mean, all of them do. So, you know, it is slightly used, I guess, according to maybe Amazon's terms. But I was absolutely blown away when I saw that the two of them were the top. Like Sarah's is, I think, $3,500. And Eric's is $2,000. Yes. And Eric's is $2,550.
That's three shans.
Yeah.
Three shans.
Yes, absolutely, you can get three not. Shans torches for one Sarah Wilson torch.
Absolutely.
So
not.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
All right.
That's a ton of money, but that's disrespectful to Shan. Shan did not put this whole season on her back for 5 weeks, you know, leading into the merge just for us to not bid on this torch. Start the GoFundMe.
I know.
Start the GoFundMe to right raise to funds for Shan's torch. Is that what the GoFundMe is?
Yes. For me to have the torch personally.
And it's also for charity, right? So, you know, it's benefiting two causes, Chappelle, charity, and Shan. All right. That does it.
Wow.
It was absolutely ridiculous. But Mike, congratulations. Although it was a very close battle. Yeah. You are the winner.
Yeah. So I guess we truly got like the horseshoe effect ongoing, right? We're like the top two were the first and second boots. And then like you come back around, it's the winner and the person voted out right before the finale. I guess if we do this game in the future, that's the logic to use, I suppose.
Yeah. And then the woman who lost Final Four fire making.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, those are clearly the top five names of the season. Wild. Mm-hmm. Well, keep on bidding, folks, because it's going to a good cause. Speaking of good causes, we know we do this at the end of every episode of the B&B. Our guest gets the opportunity to highlight a charity or cause of your choice. Chappelle, besides the effort to give Chappelle enough money to buy Shan's torch, what charity are you highlighting this week?
Well, a recent Survivor player just there's a GoFundMe going around to give Xander his winnings. And I think it's up to $20 and has been at $20 for like 3 days now. So if you want to donate to that, I'm sure you would be a part of something big one day, maybe. But as far as I'm concerned, no, I think the charity that I want to go with is the Thurgood Marshall College Fund because it does a lot for advocating for students from historically Black colleges and universities. And I attended one of those. I went to Prairie View A&M University. And in recent days in the news, it's been very popular to talk about historically Black colleges and universities because Deion Sanders, the coach of Jackson State's football team, flipped the number one recruit in the country to make him go to Jackson State. And so like everybody's talking about like the impact that we'll have with the NIL and like with players being able to get money off their likeness and the crazy deal that he spun to make that happen. And so because of all of that and my, you know, attraction to mess, I definitely wanted to highlight HBCUs in this moment and talk about the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. So yeah, it's a 501c3 organization where you can make donations throughout the year. It's tax deductible and all that good stuff. So Check that out if you're not already familiar, and support historically Black colleges and universities.
Yeah, I believe that's tmcf.org is the short link to go access it.
Exactly.
So, but like, it's mess. It's a good mess for a good cause.
I love mess. Oh, I love it. I love mess. And it's mess for a good cause. So, yeah, I agree.
Well, Chappelle, thank you for, you know, getting messy with us, as per usual. Always such a highlight to have you on for 2+ hours talking about, you know, a 2+ hour finale. You got a lot going on in the podcast sphere, to say the least. So what other messes are you making in people's podcast feeds as of late?
Well, people call me the biggest and the baddest boy in podcasting sometimes. I've never called me that, but I've heard it. But currently, things are slowing down. You know, I'm in the off season for The Walking Dead, so I'm just taking a break from that. Finishing up Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast with Sasha Joseph. We're just finishing up season two. Then we're going to take a break until season three is released. And then every week, Rob Cicinino and I are on the Nothing But Netflix podcast, talking about what's hot on Netflix. This week, we're talking about the Princess Switch 3 with our guest, Kirsten McInnes. And so I know this is much CTV here, and this is a podcast you're not going to want to miss with me, Kirsten, and Rob talking about Vanessa Hudgens playing Vanessa Hudgens. Playing Vanessa Hudgens again.
Yeah, I've seen Princess Switch 1 and 2. I have not finished out the trilogy. Do they add one more Vanessa Ann Hudgens into the mix?
There's a third Vanessa Hudgens in the Princess Switch 3. They are all switched together. The three of them are all just hanging out.
Was it like a triangle? Like, take one step to the left and that's the Vanessa Ann Hudgens you're playing now?
Yes, basically it messed, but we're talking about it on Nothing But Netflix. And so check that out when it's released this week. But I think that's it. I think because The Walking Dead is taking a break for now, and because we're finishing up Never Have I Ever, we still have Insecure on post-show recaps, where every week Latanya Starks, myself, Mari Forth are talking about the last season of that. I think this week our guest is going to be Amon Adwin, if we can lock him down. He's very, you know, he's like, Amon is like top dollar booking, you know, like, you gotta, like, I had to sell a body part to get Amon to come on the show. So I'm very excited for this. But yeah, so you can check me out on any of those things, or follow me on Twitter at @Chappelle_show, where I'll be tweeting out those links.
All right, Liana, I know you just concluded a show that I believe premiered and finished the same exact day as Survivor did, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Puyi and I finished up The Masked Singer season 6. We had a really great time talking about the finale. Honestly, it was a really great season. I think both of us had a similar opinion. We're satisfied with the winner based on our edit reading of The Masked Singer. There was no ambiguity when it came to, you know, the ultimate winner here. So obviously, Edgek, but what is it? The codes, positive, whatever, 5N6. Okay, fine, whatever. You know, the codes for Edgek, where you like give like their complex personality, like CP5, you know, whatever.
Okay.
I thought you talked so much Survivor.
Yeah, I thought your brain just like melted down for a hot second. You're saying numbers and letters.
Gosh. Liana, honestly, speaking science again.
It is very acronym heavy. Yeah. Okay. So whatever. So Masked Singer, Puya, lovely, amazing. And I was on the feedback show. So if for some reason you listen to this first, which obviously you should, the B&B is amazing, but also go check out the feedback show, or don't. I don't care. This has been now 5 hours of Survivor talk for me for the finale. I loved every second of it, but I'm also happy to embrace the offseason.
I say we need 50 more hours of it. Okay, let me actually, to end the podcast, let me address something that you channeled through that podcast to me, talking about how Jeff Probst was Heather's baby daddy. I totally forgot about this.
Wait a minute.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because I brought up in my podcast with Rob, like, I don't know why Jeff is just so obsessed with Heather. That even happened in the finale, right, where Jeff's like, look at what Heather's doing. My God, they should make a movie about it. Liana brought up a great point that in the opening scene of the premiere, right, Heather said, like, Jeff, you are responsible for my family. And so Jeff is, I think we called Jeff her baby daddy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff is the baby daddy, because it's like, she's like, you're the reason why my family, like, thank you. You're the reason why we created, or my family's the reason, like, you're the reason for my family, or something like that. It's like very incriminating. And so Jeff just like, He laps it up. He loves it. He's yes, we are family, you know.
Oh, so this is nepotism.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he's so impressed with her.
That's why he keeps saying raw, you know?
It's going to be raw and candid, just like the night Heather's family was created.
Yeah. Let me get a slice
the
of
raw
that
dog.
Pizza. Yeah, let me get a slice. That's what Jeff said. He came in, let me get a slice of that. Give me a slice of that. No, Jeff, no.
Let me get that narnar. That sick narnar. The ill narnar.
Oh, my
God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, in my family of podcasts, of which, of course, Jeff is the baby daddy, lots going on. As I mentioned before, I did exit interviews with all the five finalists. It was a long night on Wednesday night, but I was very grateful to talk with all the final five. Because, again, I cannot say enough good things about this cast. I think hearing about the way they approached the ending, the way they approached their cast, their game, it really filled in a lot of blanks, specifically about players like Erica and Heather. So I really encourage people to check that out at parade.com. Of course, on the post-show recaps side of things, I'm covering Lost with Josh Wigler in about 2 days from now. We are covering the end, the final episode of Lost after 2.5 years.
It's wild.
It is finally happening. Yeah, I still cannot believe it. Like, I've had this odd sense of endings and beginnings in my life as of late when it comes to this stuff of like Survivor ending and now this. My islands are disappearing before my eyes, before I know it. And so we're talking about other monsters as well in that regard. So it has just been a wild journey for Josh. It's not going to be the end of Down the Hatch. We have certainly a lot of other summing up to do, but really big milestone coming up in our coverage of the end. That's going to be a really long one. We have dedicated 2 days of recording time just because we had a feeling there's going to be a lot of talking on that one. Covering the X-Files with my wife, but we took the week off because we're covering a new show, The Witcher. Recently came to Netflix, came on Friday. We're doing our own version of Nothing But Netflix, I suppose. Liana.
Just like Jeff.
Is that how Survivor got on Netflix? Talk about a casting couch.
Okay.
Casting so couch.
When Ceree got up off the couch. I can't.
I'm so happy she got up off that couch.
Yeah, because I was
like a sticky couch.
Yeah, before the black light turned on. The Witcher season 2 recently arrived on Netflix. We're doing weekly episodes of that. We recently wrapped up the premiere, which was really fun. So if you're a fan of The Witcher, speaking of Survivor, Gabby Pascuzzi, big fan of The Witcher. So check that out if you'd like to over on Post Show Recaps. And many more things to come. I cannot officially announce it, but I will say coverage of a show is starting as soon as next week with a new panel, star-studded panel, I should say. So check that out over on Post Show Recaps. And then, you know, Chappelle is saying things are winding down. Not for me, because a lot of stuff is happening on RHAP. Next week, Rob Cesternino and I are getting together and we are doing the 2021 in review, wrap up, Brant Steele hoopla, to use a Jeff Probst term, where we take some of the stars of 2021, put them in a Brant Steele. I'll take requests on air. Chappelle, I'm assuming you're advocating for Taylor Swift to make a third appearance.
I mean, should she not? She's really queen of the game and the music industry. And every year that we do this, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but did Quibi win last year?
Quibi won last year, and the year before, Lizzo beat Keanu Reeves. So really, a really big succession of maybe Succession should make it. Liana, any suggestions for people or things to include?
No, I know nothing, Jon Snow, of these culture items that aren't related to
that
Survivor,
that also might have worked for like 2018, Leon, if you put Jon Snow on there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, as Puya likes to remind me, all my references are far too dated, so I don't think that I should be asked this question.
So we're doing that.
You can't say shit.
I know, right?
Who you be like, oh yeah, like Barney Stinson, like who you really, really are you still quoting How I Met Your Mother to this day?
Okay, that's the thing. He also makes the same like four jokes over and over again, and yet you get on me about that. Okay, sir. It's fine.
Right. Is this what you talk about when you're not eating?
Let's drag him.
When you're like, all right, we're not gonna talk about this now. I'm eating. I'm gonna stop and then we'll break down the conversation.
Yeah, when we're last suppering. Yeah, that's exactly.
So that being said, so next week is going to be a Survivor, a 2021 brand steal with Rob Cicerini, which should be fun. The week after, we are doing, I believe, an Amazing Race cast preview with Jessica Lise. Ooh. Because the Amazing Race 33 starts in like 2 weeks. It starts on January 5th, and our coverage is going to be humming with that. It's going to be airing Wednesday nights. We'll be doing recaps, maybe another podcast on top of that. And then about a month happens, then Celebrity Big Brother premieres on February 2nd, and I'm going to be doing Exit Press for that. And The Amazing Race as well. And then before we know it, it's March, 10th, and Survivor 42 premieres, and we see the big-ass matches come out. Gosh. So, the wheels are turning. Like, this car is not slowing down anytime soon. I'm incredibly grateful for everything that I get to cover. But that being said, there is no off-season, so I'm going to be like Xander, right? This is one big cross-country mile. And so I'm just going to keep looking down, running, and have the biggest smile on my face in doing so. And you can check out all of that malarkey I do and much more at A Mike Bloom Type. So let's get to it for the B&B. What a season. Big season of the B&B, I feel like. We had a really fun group of guests. You never know after Survivor has been on a hiatus for 2 years, like who's going to come back or who we're going to bring on. But we had, you know, a whole lineup of fantastic people. So special thanks to Maggie Morgan, Kirsten McInnes, Jordan Kalish, the Real Weird Sisters, Alice and Martha, Sasha Joseph, Asia Welch, Justin McElroy, Ali Lasher, Peridium, Ali Gertz, Brian Cohen, Dave Jorgensen, the aforementioned Puya, Jenny Autumn, Filty, and of course Chappelle. We are so happy to anyone and anyone who like submits themselves to the stupidity that Liana and bring each and every week to this place. And so it is our pleasure to get to do this. We'll be back for season 42. I'm not sure. Maybe if it calls for it, maybe we'll find some time to do like a Celebrity Big Brother thing, but probably going to be Survivor 42, just because it's a month long. And before you know it, we'll be back talking about more silly things. I'm sure we'll talk about the logo again, Liana. The logo has a lock and key on it and a maze. I don't know what that means whatsoever. I'm scared.
I'm scared. Yeah, scared of the monster, scared of the lock and key. It's just terrifying all around.
Yeah, so we'll be back in a short amount of time. And of course, you know, what I was able to do for Survivor 41, I was able to do for Survivor 42 as well. And so Rob and I will get together in the preseason once the cast is dropped to really break down this cast and, you know, all of their interviews. From what I saw, it seems like actually a really fun group so far from like the brief amount of time that we saw. So I want to thank everyone who listened and also sent in game ideas as well. Again, this was a weird season. It was a game within a game, and we were happy to be the game within the game within the game. So if you want to send in ideas, you always know you can do so at rhapbnb@gmail.com. Don't know why you would want to do that in the next 3 months, but if you happen to, you have like a Christmas time shower thought, you know, we're here. We're accepting of any and all games, and we're accepting of any of all listeners. So that's going to do it for a super long, super raw version of the B&B. Special thanks to Scott Sampier for editing everything behind the scenes. Wolf from America for his fantastic theme song, which you've been humming all season long. And Liana, thank you for joining me on this journey each and every time. You and I walking up these grassy hills together on Shipwheel Island. I'll always risk my vote for you. It's on my podcast bucket list.
Oh, of course, Mike. It's always the, you know, the highlight of my Survivor season when I get to just do absolutely ridiculously silly things with you by my side. So I would, you know, wouldn't ask for anything else. I love the B&B so much.
Well, this is an awkward moment, to quote Jeff Probst. We have to conclude the podcast and the season. So thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back in a few months talking Survivor 42. Until then, we'll check you out on your next day.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.